Blog Talk Radio.
I used to like to walk the straight and narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze for days through sleepless dreams, all alone and trapped in time. All alone and trapped in time. I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me, or am I even in its mind at all? Perhaps I'll get a chance to look ahead and see, soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Well, tell me where I'm going, I don't know where I've been. Tell me, won't you tell me, and then tell me again. My heart is breaking, my body's aching, and I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me.
Just gotta know.
everyone. This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Talk. Psychic X Journey Talk Mail. Oh, gosh. You know, something's really crazy and stuff like that. So let's try it one more time. This is Psychic X Journeyman. This is Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. This is Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about Atlantis tonight. Is it real or was it? Which means, was it real or is it still around? And still, can we still see the influences? And still, are the influences still there to the point where the people themselves still exist? So join us now as we go over those things. So let's talk about Atlantis. And that's what we're going to do tonight. So join us for the insight about Atlantis. Also, we're going to be doing some past live readings too. Well, so for the 10th caller, please give us a call here. Because for the 10th caller, you will win a 60-minute reading of your choice. So whatever you want to be past live, angel cards, tarot cards, whatever it is, whatever you want to do. Just join us with that whole thing, and we'll see what's up. Hold on for 1 second. As we sit here and go over the thing, and it's amazing how people out there have a tendency to sit there and say they love God, they're all about love. At the same time, they're bashing and attacking people, and they have no idea what they're even talking about. We have somebody on Blog TV right now who thinks they know what they're talking about, sitting there saying, you hate God, and actually, like, he loves me. And we know for a fact that the situation here is, you don't know me, I don't know you, and I don't want to know you. You know, at this point right now, if you really want to get your point across to me and, try to convert me to come to your side of the whole thing, saying I love Satan and love the devil and that kind of stuff, because my work is the ideal to get people to actually realize God does exist and to go back to them, to get back to the path of life. And you, my friend, seems to be walking on the path in between, which I would call death. And even death in itself is transition, so therefore you keep resounding these things. I don't care about Bible verses. Either live it or shut up. All right? Don't want to hear about Bible verses. I want to see your life reflecting what you're trying to tell me, and yours does not. And see, all you're trying to do is tell me what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is wrong, and that kind of stuff, but I don't hear anything about you. Who are you? You're just some stupid-ass person on the other side of this freaking line, sitting there bashing everybody for no reason at all, and I don't understand why. You know, there's different avenues, and if you really meant what you're saying, I don't think you would sit there and do the whole thing. And the idea for good... See, you're sitting there saying you don't want to hear it, but there you are still listening, my friend. So therefore, I don't want to hear it either. So, bye. Liars, seems like to me you're the ones lying. You're sitting there saying you're a loving person, and you're sitting there saying someone hates. You're saying, I hate this, I hate that. Are you trying to tell me you're a psychic and you're telling me who I am? And you're starting to talk about this and that and the other. You don't know what you're talking about. The idea of sitting down and talking to people and working with people and helping people, you know, basically keep their relationships together, keep their marriages together. I don't hear anything about that, my friend. All you're saying is you want to sit there and talk about the whole thing, and I can't figure why the heck I can't. Let's try this again. This sucks. All right. With the situation at hand, I want to sit here and talk about Atlantis itself and really get in over the whole thing, but I just want to sit here and say it, everybody. If you got something you really want to say and you want to talk about it and you want to sit here and bash me and that kind of stuff, you're more than welcome to come on my show and give me a call here and we'll talk about it. 646-721-9031, because, see, I'm passionate about what I'm saying to the point where you can actually hear me verbally. You can see me visually. I'm not hiding behind the internet at all. I'm actually using it as a device to actually get to more people, to help more people. I don't see that here. Okay, so, you know, people calling in and kind of thing like that. So we're checking back and forth, doing a little thing here. So, you know, just check in with the guys and just talk about it. I don't want to hear about this craziness about Satan and that kind of stuff. I will say it before, my love is for God, Jesus, the angels, everybody who helps me. So therefore I can help other people out there as well. So if you sit here and look at that situation, don't believe in the devil. And I will say it one time out there for you people who say, he does exist. And if you want to sit here and dwell on that, I think you're worshiping the devil. Because you're giving him all your power with that hatred of yours. So think about that for a minute. We're trying to sit here and talk about a lot of things. And just really put it in perspective for people to see what things are. Because if you really study the universe and see what goes on, every time you do that, all it does is prove that God does exist. Wow. Amazing stuff. So we're going to talk about Atlantis, make some calls, and do some readings. What do you say? My co-host is not here, so I hope she comes to a speedy recovery. So we're going to miss her until she gets back. And Bree won't be here tonight, but I hope she gets over the flu as soon as possible. So it's all send her energy to heal faster and get back with us. So because we miss that girl and her personality. So let's all put a nice call out there of energy, and everybody say a prayer and focus on the angels helping Bree and bring her back to the show. So so we won't miss her anymore. That's it, you know. We all love her and hope she comes back. Well, she will come back. Of course she will come back. I'm just saying, it's in her energy, so she'll be back sooner. Every day is just one day too long. So let's just go ahead and do some readings, and then we'll discuss some things about Atlantis themselves. Hello, area code 520. Welcome to the show, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, and Colleen, well, I was hearing, you know, and I saw on the internet, but I just wanted to call because you were very accurate in a reading and gave me that faith not to lose that direction and hope. So I believe in what you're saying and doing. So unfortunately, there's people out there that are always seeing that little devil. So
yeah.
I to give that affirmation for you that you were, and in along with those lines, I had spoken to you and you pre-warned me about somebody coming back into my life and how I handled it. It was kind of like a test, see if I trust it. And so I wanted to know, I did reconnect with this person, and I want to follow, just have the faith in it, but I'm a little, I guess, that little back and forth. Is he going to come back and talk to me? Are we going to try to get, you know, that at least on a cordial relationship with one another, or is it going to take some time again? Because we didn't talk for a very long time, and then we reconnected.
Well, see, the one thing I have to say about situations of getting back together with people is we all have to understand one thing, that any kind of distance between us or any kind of period of time, we are different people. So it's like it is like seeing each other for the very first time. So with this situation, like I feel like yes, the first question is yes about the ideal of reconnecting and getting back together, and I get that very strongly. And trust me on that, because all day I've been doing readings for a lot of people today. And all I've been getting is no for a lot of people not to get back together. And even though they've had people tell them over and over again, yes, you're going to get back together and that kind of stuff, those situations didn't go that way. And I had a couple of people slam their phones on me. And I'm sorry, but, you know, the truth sometimes can hurt. But don't slam the phone so hard, because I don't need the pain either. It's just one of those things of realizing that you need to deal with it and understand that to get confirmation and get an answer quick and hear the truth helps you move on even quicker. To your situation, yes, the truth, you know, it's like I tell people, come here. If you come in here and you want me to tell you what you want to hear, then you're coming to the wrong place. If you want to hear the truth, then you're here. And the reason I got ticked off is we actually were running live video right now for Blog TV. And I'm really seriously thinking about canceling that whole freaking thing. Just because, and people sit there and go, well, you know, people should be able to allow to say they want to. You know something? I have this thing about free speech too, but not free bashing. So therefore,
yeah.
And like I've told people before about this show, this is not a show of democracy. I say one thing, it's my show, and I run it the way I want to. And I have to actually cross my beliefs. I have to be firm and be courageous about what I believe, and I will. I will not back down one iota. And the people who are out there saying, prove to me that I'm a psychic, I don't have to prove nothing to no one. Either you feel it or you don't. And everybody who works with me feels it. So there's something up with that situation that you should be looking at yourself. Now, with the situation with you and the situation with, it is going to take some time, not much, because you've had connections before, and there are certain similarities between the two. I mean, you haven't changed completely, so you do know each other pretty well. But I think it's the idea of just, I feel like it's coming back together a couple months, and then you guys will have something very strong, which I think in some ways, the way it comes to me, it might actually be baffling to both you to actually have something stronger than you did before.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first talked to you, you said there was a lot of growing, and that's why sometimes we have to take different paths. Well, I did notice that when we did reconnect just a week ago, he looked at me in a very different way, and just like if I was somebody different. So I guess when you said that, it could totally resonate because he had this look, and I'm like, just like, well, what's so different about me? But he did look at me differently. But I guess is it because of my aura, because of the work I've done within myself that appears different to him?
Yeah. All those things make differences, because working on auras and chakras and working on oneself opens up all of who you are. So there, when they feel it, they feel it. And it actually, not just connecting with your angels more, it helps you to connect with everybody, to realize the bond and the connection between us, but also recognize certain people that we're supposed to be with in romantic relationships. And you can understand, you can see those things for you too. So if he looks at you any differently than he did before, I get the impression what I got was he's actually picking up on what he felt when he first met you the very first time. And usually, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I hadn't seen that look in a while, and it's like, I don't know, like, he saw me again and saw, I don't know, it's like he had his eyes closed so long, and then all of a sudden he opened them, and it was kind of like the very first time when we met.
Right.
Very odd.
Yeah, but, those things, it's like I said before, so where you're waking is a lot of times in the situations of things we go through and that kind of stuff, it's way heavy on us to the point where we can't feel like we did before, and blockages in our chakras and our auras and that kind of stuff. And when you deal with those things, it opens it up. So like you said before, the truth will set you free. That means every time you sit here and tell the truth and you're truthful with yourself, you release something that you've hung on before that you, even to the point of people lying to you and that kind of stuff, how that affected you was more affecting the body. So you clear all that out, you work it all together, and it just opens up.
So just trust and have that patience, and is what you're saying. He has to come to where I've come, to the realization where I've come.
Yeah, because, like I said before, the more open you are, the more he sees it.
That makes sense. That does make sense. Okay, well, I do appreciate that. And as for the people, what I don't understand is why do they listen if they don't have any belief in it? It's really annoying to be in the chat room when he has seen and being like that. I'm like, then don't call and don't take up everybody else's time. I don't get it. So
yeah.
They totally understand where you're coming from. They have their beliefs, and that's fine, but they don't need to be on the internet and chatting. That's why I got off, because it's like, it's ridiculous. So
yeah, it was crazy. I was sitting there listening to some of the people going, sitting there, hey, we're tired of hearing your lies. I said, well, then click off.
Why do you even click on? Don't even know. You have to dial the number or actually get on the website in order to be a part of it. So
I think you should come up with different tactics if you're trying to convert somebody. Because seriously, I was in Colorado, and I had a shop out there, and we had a church right behind us. I thought it was so amazing. When those people came in to talk to me, they walked out enlightened. Okay, so, it must be doing something right to actually get that kind of going. Plus, there was a person that came in my shop. We wasn't there. We had left to go to eat lunch. And we usually ask for protection around our shop and don't let anybody come in who can harm us. But this one lady came in and put a pamphlet on my table. And I basically said, if you want to come in and talk to me, that's one thing. But don't come in my shop when I'm not there and put a pamphlet on my thing because you think that you have the right to do that. I don't care who you are. You don't have no right to violate anybody's space. Even God honors your free will and does not interfere with you until you're ready to come to Him. So therefore, once you guys live exactly what you say you're trying to, and sit there, you know, the idea of coming to one, that's not what it's all, you know, the idea of love, God loves you so much, so therefore He gives you that freedom to do what you want to do, and therefore when you're ready to come, then you can do it. But not until. So therefore, forcing people, you know, when you force people to do anything, all you're doing is pushing them away. Like I told the last guy, I have just stopped listening to you because of the way you're coming across. So therefore, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not. That's just a fact. That's not a prediction of any kind. It's just looking at the situation. I mean, when you, and someone's sitting there saying you are Satan, you're, you know, you hate God, and all they're doing is sending out accusations. You're sitting there going, I don't understand why you're attacking me, and how's that going to make you look any better?
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to. You believe in God. You're not supposed to be mocking anybody. You're not the judge. He is.
Yeah, you don't judge.
I agree.
Yeah, the reason you don't judge people is because everybody's on their own path, and so you have no right to judge it, because you're here for one reason, is to learn what you came here for, not for anybody else. So therefore, let's all respect that. I mean, people perceive things differently all the time, and you can't really argue with that. You really can't.
Correct.
You just respect people's opinions, their perceptions, and disrespect people altogether in the first place, which I said, you know, they always, in the Bible, what's the biggest commandment? Love.
Yep. So without love, there's not much.
Yeah,
you're helping a lot of us, and I hope that those kind of people don't dissuade you, because you do help a lot of us out there.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
So continue what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. No. I was just going to say, if you had any more questions, because, you know, this is usually the first part of the show, so there's only you on the line, so you don't have to rush off if you have a couple of questions you want to ask.
Well, I mean, regarding that, I mean, part of the relationship, the question that I have was because he did, it was really hard when I first called you, because he had moved on to somebody, and he told me a lot of times we do that so that they don't have to face the breakup and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I allowed it. He did come back around. And like you said, he would. It took some time. But do you see that he will realize it in that relationship? Well, and then we reconnect as friends and see where it goes again?
It's just one of those things of not reconnecting. It's just the idea of crossing paths again for another chance, not to even correct anything. It's just another chance to experience what was there in the first place, because it seemed like some things did get in the way. And then it's a chance to, like you always said before, if I had a chance to do it again differently, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you manifested that. So therefore, respect that, respect yourself. And I think if you really go into this whole thing and just be open about the whole thing, because the biggest problem we have, I think, sometimes, in situations like these, is the idea of getting back together. We're not getting back together. We're getting together. Because sometimes when you put that back together in there, you're pulling things from the past in with you. So what you're trying to do is let go of those things in favor of a newer, better relationship, loving too as well. To see that in each other. And I think it was all put in perspective with the way he looked at you. That gave you that courage inside to realize you just might have a chance to do that this time.
Yeah, I mean,
it reflected back to you. He reflected back to you what you want.
Yeah, I saw him actually really sad, almost like what did I go do? How am I gonna fix?
Yes, but see, the one thing is, you're not gonna fix anything. You're coming back to respect each other for who they are and to love that. Because when we love each other, very quickly, I'll have a tendency to go, you know, I think you could do this better. And I think it's one of those things of suggesting it and then letting go. And then say, well, don't, you do, doesn't matter. I used to tell my daughter all the time, just because you did something wrong, just because you got in trouble, just because you said you hated me, doesn't mean I love you any less. Okay?
It's true.
Right.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
You're in a situation. So I'm a loving person. You're a loving person. Prove it. Love each other unconditionally no matter what. Now, in the situation, people go, well, how can you do that when a person does something wrong to you? I said, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't you pull your head out of the sand and love just love everybody. Love everything, everyone, unconditionally. Love your neighbor, love yourself. And if you, when you have a tendency to not do those things, you need to look at yourself and ask yourself, do I love myself? Because usually that's where it usually ends, you end up tracing it back to anyway. And when people do things mean to you, doesn't mean you do anything differently. That person is just acting and being who they are. Okay, and you are, you need to stop and observe it and see why is it like that way. Because a lot of times when you meet a self-centered man or a bad boy, that could mean, that's definitely a reflection of you in some sense of the word. That doesn't always mean that you're a bad person or because he is. We're saying, what does it reflect back to you? Like you have a person who's disrespectful, which probably means that you don't respect yourself enough. So therefore, you do the right thing and you do what you got to do. If a person looks at you sadly in this situation here, I think what's going on is a reflection back to you that you feel that this thing ended prematurely. So therefore, you're both feeling the same way. This is also a sign for you, too, that since you're both feeling the same way about the same situation, more than likely what you feel for him, he feels for you. So these are all signs pointing out to the point thing and saying, I love you, and I'm sad and hurt because of what I did to you. And at the same time, you reflect back to him the same way. Okay? Now, does this mean you guys did anything to each other? Probably not, but you're both thinking it. So that means you're on the same wavelength of wanting to amend things. But I'm just saying, it's a good way to sit down and have a nice discussion when things do open up with you and say, you don't need to do those things. You don't need to fix anything. Because realistically, you were being who you were at that time. Now you're totally different people. So there's nothing to fix. It's just get together, have a relationship. Let this friendship be what it is. I feel like the friendship has always existed anyway. It was just the idea waiting for you two to come back together to realize that. And I think by his look, you did. So, you know, the ideal, and who got a haircut? Someone got a haircut. Who got a haircut?
He must have, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, that came across very quickly. I can see a haircut, and I'm sort of going, okay, maybe it was him. But
I'm just a lot stronger than he is, and he got with this woman who wasn't going to let up, and he fell for it. And I know now he's, like, stuck. Well, I don't know if he's going to have the strength to follow his heart and be upfront with her.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what worries me about him. But I'm trying to leave it up, you know.
Yes. Well, sometimes in situations, some people have a tendency to play on the whole idea of like the guy you're talking about, very loving man. So therefore, some women have a tendency to take advantage of that to get what they want. Okay, so it's mm-hmm. like pressure, you know, he likes to hurt people. I think someone needs to sit down with him and say, you know something, realistically, you're not hurting anybody. These are just realizations they're not willing to deal with. So when you say things and that kind of stuff, and they really get angry about it, get hurt, there's a reflection there that they're just not willing to admit. So he has to realize also that in situations, there is a thing called two different answers to a question. And someone asks you about something like, do you want to be with me or not? Or do you want to go out and that kind of thing? There is a yes or a no. And he needs to understand that. That also other people need to understand that too.
Because
I've already worked with girls before who go out with guys because they don't want to hurt their feelings and then they can't get rid of them. And I tell them flat out, you open the door, you got to learn how to shut it, which means no. And if he still gets persistent on the whole thing, well, you put yourself in a situation, so now you got to take the actions to take care of it. Even if you have to call the cops, man, because we have to look at these situations. When people are acting mean and walking all over us and doing all kind of craziness, at that moment, mm-hmm. We don't recognize them, so they are strangers. And what would you do in a situation like that anyway, when a stranger would hurt you like that? You would call the cops.
Correct.
So I'm just saying, I don't see this happening with you. I'm just saying, with your this boy, this guy, he needs to understand that. And I think he's coming to the point. Okay, so I just feel like the idea of really working with the friendship really strengthens the foundation, which seems like it's already there. It just needs to be reestablished.
Yeah, I agree with that. We are very close. Like you were saying, we could see each other 3 months from now, and it's like we pick up right where we left off.
Exactly. So just respect that and look at the situation, you know, but sometimes, too, you have to look at things and see what they are. So you see a person here who's constantly faltering back and forth. There's nothing wrong with stating what you will and what you won't. Deal with
it. Which I have, and I think it's taken some time to realize. He finally admitted that he put me through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a big step for him.
That's a hard thing to do.
Especially for a guy.
Yeah.
So
you got someone
totally
going like
agree.
That. Oh, heck yeah. We're looking for nothing but high hopes. Oh, no.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I appreciate everything you did. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. So we're going to sit here. As we sit here and work with the switchboard and try to get to work, and we have the little roulette wheels going across when we push a button, kind of crazy in itself. So, we'll check with the chat rooms. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to help people out as much as we can, but for some reason people just want to sit there and do what they want to do, and they want to use the Bible and God and all this kind of stuff to prove their point. So, you know, the ideal, the situation, I don't understand that, to tell you the truth. So, call in, just get a reading. Right now, the number is 646-721-9031. If you have any comments about Atlantis itself, everybody seems very opinionated about Atlantis and the whole thing that goes along with that. So please, feel free to call in, and we'll definitely call and talk about the whole thing ourselves. We had some things going on earlier. It was kind of a crazy situation. No big deal. It's just the ideal, you know, people using the word weirdo. They're working Satan followers. They call people liars. See, that's just bashing people. You know, putting the thumb down, and it's like, you know, I already have enough problems with family members doing the same thing. Don't need strangers doing the same thing either, so I'm just saying, with the situation, if you get banned from any kind of chat room on Blog TV or Blog Talk TV, I'm sorry. But I don't have to sit here and deal with this. So therefore, I won't. If you want to call in and talk about it, feel free to do so. I used to have this all the time when I was working in Colorado, people coming in and giving their opinions, and the only thing good about that whole thing was they were nice about it. They just told me what they felt, how they, the whole thing. Never saw one person call in and call me names and try to push me into a category to make themselves feel better. And maybe that's what we got going on here. I don't know. It just seemed to drive me crazy. But we are doing some legitimate work here, and we love working with people. And we're not going to do that. Okay? We're just not going to. We're here to help people, and we're going to keep doing so. We've been doing this a long time. So, you know, like I said, tonight we're talking about Atlantis. We're trying to get some comments out and that kind of thing. And we were talking about connections with Atlantis. And people talking about pyramids in Egypt. And there's pyramids. You can find pyramids on there. So we do have some people that on that whole thing. But So if you have any kind of insights that you want to bring to the table, like we call it the round table here, so give us a call in. And let's get the debate going. A lot of people are even questioning the ideal. Does Atlantis even exist? So if you have a comment about that as well. You see what I'm saying? It can drive you crazy. So, I'm just, I don't know, it's one of those crazy things where you sit there and you go back and forth on everything, trying to figure out why people do believe and why some people don't, and why some people won't even look at the facts. We have some things about this, that, and the other, and it just drove me crazy when some of the facts I've seen some really good ones. Switchboard troubles. And seriously, if you want to call in and let's talk about this, that, and the other, and bring some facts that you have about Atlantis, feel free to do so. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. What shall we do, huh? We were sitting going over some things. I've been watching alien history on Discovery Channel and the History Channel, and just seeing a lot of things that happen with those things and those subjects. And I just thought it was amazing with some of the things that have been going on. And we'd crossed this before where we look at pictures and that kind of stuff of primitive, I call it primitive, compared to what people would consider going through the universe to get here from another planet. They would definitely be primitive spacecraft, and I just can't picture those things actually being the vehicles, how they got here, even to the point of actually seeing any flames out of any kind of vehicle of that kind of magnitude anyway. So we were just going over some stuff, good stuff, I'm telling you, man. I had just got a eureka moment when I was sitting here looking at some artifacts, and like I said before, there's some stuff in Peru, there's ruins, and they've got these stones, these buildings are just like they're tossed, and you, one thing you try to figure out, what happened? They're all tossed to the side, up in the air, and that kind of stuff. These things are very hard stones, too, because it's been noted that you can cut this stone, but you need a diamond-bitted saw to do so. And this civilization has actually been predated to basically, you know, one of the very first civilizations here in this hemisphere, with North America, South America, and Peru. So, you know, when you look at those kind of things, it freaks you out, don't it? I think so. Because I was freaking out in the first place, looking at a lot of things and just trying to figure out. A lot of people keep talking about alien and alien this and alien that, and aliens came from the planets and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying with the things they keep showing me on those television shows, the first thing that keeps coming to me is not alien, but Atlantean technology, are giving us a little kick in the head about what we're looking at here. So, you know, when you think about that, it does make you think that maybe what we're looking at here is not alien technology, but just alien to us. And when you have things that are alien to us, they can be interpreted many, many ways. And that can drive you crazy, because then you have many, many people who come forward and they have a different insight the whole thing. And some people have a tendency to be really pushy with that. So sometimes, where do you go? What do? You know? They can drive you nuts. But what I'm saying is, when you look at stuff, just take a second look. What do you say, huh? I'm saying, that's so freaking weird. I'm trying to, okay, why is it? Okay, let's try this again. They were talking about things that could be classified as alien, like runways and stuff like that. My thing is, there are so many different ways of looking at the situation. There really is. I mean, when I look at the situation, like talking about this massive continent that exists between North America and South Africa, and actually not South Africa. Well, what's it happening? Yeah, no. Well, that's actually between North America, United States, the big water, Atlantic Ocean, and Africa itself, which I guess would be more of the west coast of South Africa. But anyway, when you look at the situation, I was looking at it in a different way. No. And when you go on the internet, the idea of finding Atlantis with all this resort, the Bahamas and all kinds of good stuff going on, people have really capitalized on this thing too as well. And that can drive you crazy. And there's other people who said they have found Atlantis. There was a thing on Google. A Google map said they found Atlantis. And my biggest problem with the situation is they're showing you these nice square foundations. Okay, cool. But I want to sit here and look at the situation like this, guys. I want to sit here and look at everybody and say, in Pluto's description, Atlantis was destroyed by typhoons, hurricanes, volcanoes, and all kinds of good stuff. Whack. Just destroyed the whole freaking thing. Would you really, realistically, in a situation like that, have perfectly square foundations? I mean, we're talking about earthquakes moving the ground. We're talking about typhoons, tsunamis wiping it out with water. We have volcanoes erupting. We have a whole continent going underwater. Now, when you sit here and look at that kind of account, would you really have anything left to actually prove that Atlantis existed? We've seen a lot of other civilizations that have been destroyed by volcanoes and that kind of stuff, and you do find those things, but they were also covered to the point where they were covered and preserved. In Pompeii, we have the ideal of volcanic ash coming out of the volcano, covering everybody to the extent that when everything came down and did what it did, it wasn't volcano like the lava and that kind of stuff that destroyed these things. It was the ash covering everything. And the process of covering everything in Pompeii was kind of a cool thing, because what happened is they were unearthing, you know, doing their archaeology, unearthing and doing their digs and that stuff and trying to figure things out. And one of the guys kept on finding these mounds. And every time he'd punch into one of these mounds, he would find nothing but bones. Well, one of the doctors there got an idea, a theory, that he felt like there was something up with the whole thing. So what he told the guy was, he said, "You find any more of these things, and before you do anything, let me know. I want to check something out and do something first, and before we unearth them." So what he did was, they were still finding these things, and what he decided to do was put plaster Paris inside it, punch a little hole, and put plaster Paris inside these things. In the process of doing that, what did they find? What had happened was the ash had buried everybody to the point where it preserved the outline, the impression. Everybody hold on for 1 second, please. Thank you. Anyway, let's get back to our show, and we've had some strange conversations today. So if anybody wants to call in and give me your side of the whole thing, but I'm just saying, when they went to Pompeii and started putting plastic Paris in these holes, they started, what they found out was these were impressions of the people that were there. What happened was the flesh and everything had rotted away. You have the bones, but you still have the impressions. So we have the impressions. Okay, cool. But in this situation, it's a little bit different than Pompeii, because Pompeii was actually rocked and in a basically covered, but we don't have any kind of, not to the point that we've heard about Atlantis and the way it was taken out. And my theory in the whole thing is the idea Atlantis existed in the Mediterranean and crates, and then the massive continent we're talking about did exist, but it was the idea how far Atlantis had expanded from that area out over to this continent. So you could find these things, and the idea this could be a foundation of an outpost or some buildings or some part, because we know the Roman Empire had many was huge. So, you know, when Rome fell, everything else was still working too as well. So it just didn't have Roman government, and the Roman Empire didn't really exist, but it didn't exist because government didn't exist. It fell, destroyed. But there was all these outposts and stuff like that, which some of these things still thrived many years afterwards. So they still existed. So therefore, with Atlantis, the theory is the same way. So when people talk about, I found Atlantis in Japan or in the waters of China or the Mediterranean or Iceland, my theory is, they could all be right. And it's just one of those things we're looking at, you know, images of Atlantis found. And people just kind of impose these pictures on everything. You know, no one's actually went there and checked it out. It's just a shot. And if you look at the shots and the area and that kind of stuff, some of the pictures I've seen are just shots. I mean, how do I know that you know where it's at? I don't. So we look at those situations. The lost city of Atlantis found. And then we had this theory. I mean, let's don't say theory. Let's look at the situation and go, people say the lost continent of Atlantis, or the lost city of Atlantis. See, even those kind of theories go along. Was it a continent or was it a city? And we always have this one level-mindedness that we always think about. It's either one or the other. Never have thought about putting the two together where we could have the city of Atlantis and the continent of Atlantis. And we also look at the situation, what was Atlantis really called? Was it really called Atlantis? Is that interpreted? Was that interpreted right? So, you know, we have all those things put in variations, too, of the idea of trying to find Atlantis and trying to find what we're looking for is also tracing back the roots of all the things that we know. Are they true? Because they could throw the whole thing off, and that's the whole big thing here. Most of my theories have been gone by mostly on situations that So, as I was saying before, Atlantis, from what I've seen with past life readings and such, I do believe it does exist. And if you think about it, I did say, I think it still exists. So we sit there and take an account of all the information and stuff that we have. That's the big thing. You know, I was one of those things where I like to take a look at everything. Talk and read. I will sit here and look at some things and going, hey, I'm crazy. Some people think you are crazy in some sense of the word when you talk about such things, because some people have a tendency to not believe that. It's like we were saying before, I saw this in a movie, it says, some things are true no matter if you believe them or not. And in that case, you know, some things are true even when people don't believe them and they know they are. So we have that kind of thing to look at too as well. And I was just trying to sit there and put two together, which we usually get four. I'm sitting there looking at the situation going, people don't believe in Atlantis, but they really want to take it to extremes of we have hotels, we have things in the Bahamas, and everybody talks about Atlantis, then the other. So that's kind of a strange situation itself. And it says, like, we got now, it's like, okay, as things go, I was actually looking for a sixth, too, because I was actually picking things up. And with some past lives I've done before where I felt like there was an outpost in Atlantis of near Iceland, one by Florida, one by China, one close to Australia, it's five. And some people say Japan, and now they're talking about Spain. So we have like five, we have actually six to almost seven locations for Atlantis, and it would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it, if we could all sit there and put it together and find out they're all right. That these are just outposts of Atlantis, and Atlantis was a whole lot huger than we could think of, because we still think on the same scale as Rome. Rome covered half of the Mediterranean and part of Europe and all those kind of stuff, you know. But you never see it. But you look at all those cultures and they all maintained right in that one area. But they never ventured across seas, and there was never a mention of anything about a great continent and that kind of stuff. So we're looking at something that was way before civilized man was actually going on. And we're talking about civilized. I'm not saying man didn't exist. I'm saying certain things are taking records and that kind of stuff, that this great continent still existed. And we're also talking about between 9 and 11,000 years before Plato. So you're talking way back. You're talking about, you know, way before Egyptian. We're talking about way back before anything. So the idea of trying to find any kind of, and people do talk about Atlantis and that kind of stuff, and there are certain things that are mentioned in other cultures about Atlantis, but it's like anything else. It's always hearsay. It's afterwards, not during. Now, people talk about the Samoans. There's other people talking about the Samoans, a very, very huge civilization too. And they were definitely an economic power of dominating everybody in the region too as well. But and we have people talking about warlike and that kind of stuff, but I keep getting this cross references here. Since the Romans were violent, since the Greeks were violent, since everybody had this, that, and the other, then therefore any kind of culture back then, because of being savages, would always have something to do with war. And when I pick up an Atlantis, I've never seen that before. I don't see war. It's one of those things that was intersected in the whole thing. We sit here and talk about, ooh, Atlantis supposedly attacked Athens and that kind of stuff, you know? For some reason, Athens and Greeks and Romans, they all seem to be the ones who are always attacking everyone. So the idea of someone attacking them, not saying it didn't happen. I mean, we can look at history and it's a constant back and forth and that kind of stuff, which is kind of funny that something that was so hearsay that Pluto wrote in his dialogues that the Athenians wasn't really talking about, unless they were embarrassed by being attacked by this great power. So that's one of those things you got to look at. I always sit there and do, you know. So let's look at the situation and let's think about that, ponder it for a little while, and let's take a couple calls, what you say, and do a couple readings. And we're going to try anyway. Hello, 917. How are you today? How are you tonight?
Hi. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Psychic Journeyman?
That's a good question. It's getting better. It's one of those things where I sit here and talk about Atlantis and kind of let myself flow and let it go. And I like doing that. So that kind of brings me up. Yes. We just wish people would listen. Go ahead.
I have a question. You actually helped me a couple weeks ago with something about someone that I'm seeing, and we've been taking it slow, but he has made it escalate, which was nice because it just happened organically, and it was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just spoke with him this morning, and I kind of wanted to know, how did that conversation, it was a very short conversation, he called me really early this morning, how did that conversation resonate with him? like, how does he feel towards me after that phone call? Because he's dealing with some more grieving issues, and a lot of people around him are actually terminally ill. So that's why I haven't seen him, because he's dealing with that. So I wanted to know what you picked up about his feelings towards me, I guess, as of today.
How are his feelings to you today? I mean,
What do you pick up generally?
I get to focus. What comes to me is focus and love. There's a lot of things going on around, and this grieving process and that kind of stuff. I kind of wish somebody would sit down with him, and I wish a lot of people would understand one thing. If you don't react and you don't get emotional, you're not a bad person. You're just a person who knows that it's transition time, and these people, when they move on, they're actually going to a better place. So, you know, we grieve too much. I think we should party when people pass over as a celebration, which a lot of cultures used to do that. And they all seem to be a whole lot happier for it. But I'm just saying, with the situation here, I feel like that I keep getting a lot of focus on you and a lot of love and a lot of things going on. But I kind of get the idea. I don't know what you guys got going on with the two of you, but from what I can pick up here, I keep getting the term like a rock.
Oh, like I'm like a rock, or there is a rock, or...
No, you're like a rock.
Yeah, that is me.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong.
Yeah, so that really helps him.
Yeah. Do you see that he's going to call me this evening, or that I should call him this evening? Like, I don't like to interrupt. That's how I feel these days, but I think, you know.
You need to listen to your intuition, which tells you to call.
It's funny, because every time I think that, I call you. Because I'm like, oh my God, like, what should I do? Like, I won't be honest, it's about my past, so I get nervous about that, because in the past, years ago, it didn't go well when I did make the calls. So now, actually, he's very ideal. He takes the calls and talks to me, I'm just nervous because, I don't know. I mean, do you see that we're going to, do you see us talking this evening, or do you see that not happening?
Yeah, I do. I see you guys talking this evening. I'm just saying, with the situation that you have to try. See, the one thing I tell people all the time, this is how you can tell if you should call or you shouldn't call. If you're calling because of an insecurity of yours, because you feel like you need to, then don't. If you're calling because you have this intuitional thing that you're being pulled or guided to do so, then you call, because that means...
Yeah, that's how I feel, but the problem is I feel like I can't tell... Notice, I'm trying to decipher the difference these days, and for the past 2 weeks, when my intuition said to call him, I didn't question it. I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just feel like since he's back in, you know, back home, I just feel like... I don't know. I mean, help me figure out what the hell I'm feeling.
No, it's just one of those things. It's one of those things of learning how to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to people who are talking to you in the situations and that kind of stuff, but also how to listen to yourself. And I'm just saying, when I do that, I had a girlfriend who, she actually had emailed me, and I didn't even get the email, who had emailed me and told me not to call her because she didn't want to. She was going through something, and she didn't want to take it out on me. Or get angry or whatever, and I didn't get the email, but that phone was just like, you need to call her, you need to call her. And then I called her, and then she said, she's like, did you get my, hold on, if you did, she goes, you didn't get my email, because if you would have got my email, you wouldn't be calling. And I said, I didn't get no email. And she's like, well, if you're calling, then there must be a reason for it, so let's talk about it. So, you know, that was taken very well, and I was questioning it too. I mean, the phone was just like, it just got overbearing. So I just sat there and said, you know, I just need to call. So I called her, and we sat down and had a really long conversation. And then from that point on, I don't know, I've never met a girl like this before where I've actually had 6 or 7 hour phone calls every time I talked to her.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it was one of those things, you look at it and you just... and go with the flow and let it take you where you got to go. Because I also know the conversations that I tried to make them long. If I was, you know, like I sat there and thought about it, it was hard. But when I sit there and just talk to her and just, you know, it was just expressing yourself.
Yeah.
Those conversations seem to go on forever.
I know they do. That's how we have conversations. Especially Thursday, we had a 4-hour conversation when he got back into mm-hmm. town, which I didn't expect, and it was amazing. And do you see when we're going to see each other again?
Can I see when you guys are going to see each other again?
Yeah.
Yes, I can. So, do you want to know? Okay. You know, sometimes he has a tendency to talk himself out of things, and he goes back and forth a little bit, you know, wavering on things and that kind of stuff. And if you have a short conversation with him, the short ones are as good as the long ones.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, it's just the connection. And like I always say before, you know, there's a lot of people call the show, and maybe I don't get to a lot of people, but, you know, the people we do get to, there's a reason why. And some of those kind of, I always tell people I have long conversations with everybody. Do you think I can actually answer just 2 questions? That's crazy. But I keep getting, see, what I get here is the idea of a person who has a tendency to waver. So I keep getting 2 weeks, but I keep getting the impression it could be any time in that 2 weeks. So it could be tomorrow.
Yeah, because he said to me yesterday that he wants to see me this week, mm-hmm. and he didn't call me last night when he said he was going to, and I was like, whatever. I know he had to handle some issues with this person that's, you know, that's actually, you know, terminally ill. So, but the next morning he called me. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, like, waver and not call me for, like, weeks
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. You know, stuff happens.
Well, so, I just feel like it's getting that point anyway where it's the idea I'm tired of talking on the phone. I want to see him face-to-face.
Wait, said it again?
I said I feel like he's getting frustrated with the whole thing because he talks to you on the phone, but he wants to sit there and see you face-to-face.
So then what's his problem right now?
It's, you know, the word that comes to me is habits.
Oh, and what kind of habits are these?
Bad ones. Just kidding. But to put it more not so vague, it's just, it comes to me as bad habits. It's just the way he does things. And I get the impression, a lot of thinking on that one too, that I want to do this and shoot this guy away from me today and trying to organize himself.
Yeah, that's okay.
I actually get 4 days at tops with what I keep picking up on, but I'm still thinking it could be anywhere in 2 weeks. Because we're talking about a human being here.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, we're talking about a guy. So it's like I try to keep it positive, but I'm just saying, I see 4 days, but I also see a guy who has a tendency to worry too much, focus. When he makes decisions, he's still thinking, did he make the right decision? And I feel like he's working with those things, but he's still got those things to deal with.
Yeah, and that's probably the reason, because for the most part, when we do make plans, actually every time we've made them, we've stuck to them.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he's planned to see me, we've seen each other.
Yeah,
we haven't set a plan yet, and that's why I'm asking. Because once we set a plan,
mm-hmm.
it's set. Like, he doesn't, I guess he's, at least with me, he sticks to the plan. But we haven't made one yet, so that's the issue.
Well, you need to sit down and make one.
You know, I guess I'm feeling
this could change everything. I'm just saying right now, it's up in the air, and a lot of flightiness back and forth. And I said, if you look at the situation, too, look at the answers of being like a rock to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throwing out a suggestion, just because, let's say you come across and say, I think we should see each other Thursday. Just because it doesn't happen Thursday could also be a way of motivating him to come up with his own date, then it would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because and even tonight, you see us talking because I call him or it's because he ends up calling me?
Yeah, I definitely see you guys talking tonight. Sometimes it might put things in perspective of what nighttime is.
Yeah. But, I mean, is it because I make the effort to give the call or he just ends up calling me this evening?
I don't know. I just keep getting it over and over that you should call him.
Now I'm going to do that then. Yeah, I just... Yeah, I'm just...
I keep getting that spawning with you, and I think maybe sometimes I don't get answers either like that, when it's like, you know, should I, you know.
Yeah, which basically there, means you call him, because if you don't, he's just overthinking too much.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, I was just thinking about you.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when I call. And that's usually what happens when he calls, so.
Yes. But the one thing about the cards I'm being pulled out here is, I guess you would say cards are being shown to me as the new beginnings.
Yeah. Yep.
New beginnings. And definitely they're talking about the idea with you. Leadership. Not the idea of leadership in the relationship, but leadership in your own role of following through with your intuitional, motivational pushing.
Yeah.
The relationship's definitely going to prosper, but I'm just saying, the one thing you need to do and really start putting a lot of effort into is the idea of enjoying it.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. It's just, he's been away because one of his parents passed away. And the nice thing about that is that he called me every single day that he was away, which surprised me.
Uh-huh. Was that his father?
His mother.
What's up with his father? Because it seems like
his father's not well either, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like a
yes.
an old friend or an ex or whatever that's actually very ill. And he's been really upfront with me about everything. So I'm very okay with all of that because he's been upfront. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way life is sometimes. But my thing is, like, I know he's tying up loose ends in his life right now, and that's fine because I like the fact that he handles business. Like, when do you see him tying up these loose ends?
Well, the answer I keep getting on that hole is they're being tied up as we speak.
Oh, good.
So it's one of those things, but I feel like the father and... I don't know. I got the impression his father has a tendency to be with him. You know, it's like him, which is like he has. I just see him where he goes. It's like a connection there where you can actually feel the presence of people.
Yeah, I think that he holds on to a lot of guilt. That's what I get, and I feel like I try to help.
Do you know anything about that? I mean, the father and the son having disagreements and...
Absolutely. He loves his father, but his father is not a happy person, according to him.
Yeah, but they don't know half each other. But, I mean, we could do the psychology thing and go, they butt heads because they're so much alike.
Yeah, I think that's true in a lot of ways, but I think that... He is way better off than his father is ever could have been, you know, because he was raised by his mother. I mean, he's a lot like him, but he's not going to end up like him. That's how I feel.
Yes, and his mother passed away, right? He said that.
His mother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was sitting there looking at him. I just got this strong thing with his father, but it could have been, I don't know. But you definitely get the impression that he's had a lot of people pass away.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things around him.
Mm-hmm. And he feels guilty for being alive and healthy. So, and
he should.
Like,
we should smack him and say the reason you're still alive is because you're supposed to be.
He knows that already. But that was a couple of weeks ago. But today he's like, I'm happy. The sun is shining. I'm full of joy. So he's in a good place right now. So,
soulmates.
I'm sorry?
Soulmates. The way it comes to me is soulmates that are so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Courageous.
Very, very. What did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Courageous. You understand what you believe, and that's a good thing with both of you, is just the idea of learning how to... it's like people have a tendency, you ever hear people talk, and they have a tendency to say the same thing at the same time. And it's just the idea of learning how to either you back off, or the other person takes... And for communicate with each other. So it's the idea. That's what I see you guys learning things too as well. And I think he used to take it as when you called him as you checking up on him and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I hope he receives it in a good way because that's what I worry about. That he's like, what?
No,
you know, guys are like, why are you checking on me? I'm sorry.
I feel like he's changed a lot on that aspect and seeing it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who's calling because. the way you believe and what you want and how you feel about him. Just not checking up on him, it's just seeing how he's doing.
Yeah.
Plus, he's always pulling on you to call him.
He's always what?
Pulling on you to call him.
I think I've won that game. And it's about time I have, too. I think my teenage years, I've paid my dues. I think it's about time they call me after all those adolescent years of calling the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he does call me a lot. Yeah. I just, because I'm trying to figure out when I should. You know, I want to, because of what I've gone through, I don't like to be so persistent because I used to be that way growing up. So now I'm just more laid back. But my intuition is like, call him and then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like because of the grieving with his mother that, and I didn't call him then because he didn't call me. We just started dating. I kind of wanted to back away because I didn't want to interrupt things that were happening. He goes, it's a good thing you didn't call because there was a lot of fighting going on. Just like you said, you had told me that there was like fighting and arguing and insults, and I would have called at the wrong time. So ever since then, now that this grieving process is starting with someone else, I feel like calling is an interruption because I'm not sure if he's there. I mean, is he home right now or is he somewhere else?
I get the impression he's home.
Is his phone on?
Say it one more time.
Is his phone on?
No, that I get no.
See? It's
I'm
like
just
I
saying.
Call and then the phone's off. What's the point?
Give an hour.
Oh, give it an hour, you said?
Mm-hmm.
He'll turn it on in an hour?
That's what I get.
So
oh,
look at
you. What's that?
No, I said that if he wants me to call, I said he should leave it on if he wants me to call him. Jeez. Because that happened yesterday.
Yeah, but I think sometimes he turns his phone off, forget about it.
Okay.
So it's not, like I said before, you know, a lot of things he does, he has a tendency to do them spontaneously. So students forget this, that, the other. I know I actually do things where I'll think I'm pushing on one button and I don't. I push on something else. And next thing people are like, we're trying to you. No, you didn't.
Yeah. And it's funny about him is that, like, he'll say, I'm going to call you later, and then he doesn't, so I don't bother him. That's how I feel. If you say you're going to call me later and you don't, I just don't call you because you said you'd call me, and if you didn't, that means you're busy.
Yeah.
So
that's
no, how
I
take
one.
It. I mean, that's common sense. It's like, you know, but.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm just saying with the situation. Too. I always tell people, if you say you're going to call me, I always have a tendency not to call you until you do. If I can take the time to call you, I can do it.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Hello?
I'm breaking. I wasn't even dating anybody. Jeez.
I can hear you better now. It's so funny. No, but doesn't that make sense? If you say you're going to call me and you don't, I don't call you because I figure you're not free.
Yeah, it's the same way. That makes perfect. I mean, it's just what we call having you know, courtesy for somebody.
Yeah, but why is he doing that? You said something when you were breaking up. I didn't hear you. Like, why did he do that?
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes with situations, you just gotta follow your instincts and the whole thing. So I'm just feeling like later on you're gonna get a call. Not in the phone.
No.
I get a call to call him.
You mean later on I'm going to instinctively call him?
Yeah, I get this really strong pulling and saying, you got to call him now.
I hope you're right because I want that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, I miss him and I want to talk to him a little bit longer. I mean, we did have a very short conversation. But it was really good, like you said it would be. I mean, it was 7 minutes, and it was pretty deep. Like, it was really short. But he told me some great stuff about me that I didn't expect him to say. You know, I was just advising him on a couple of things that I noticed. about what was going on around him and stuff, but when do you see that I'd be seeing him more often?
I'll say it again.
Oh, it's okay. No, you know, I may see him in 4 days or I may see him in 2 weeks, you said. So when did it start that I'd see him, like, twice a week or, you know, just, like, more like a couple would see each other? More
soon after he sees you the first time. I almost say it's, like, a spontaneous thing.
Why is that? Like, what do you pick up about him that he does that afterwards?
Oh, I just get the impression of seeing each other. That really prompts him to, I want to do it more. Missing the interaction, the connection, then wanting to take it one step further. So I just feel like it's spontaneously after that, you start seeing him more.
Hmm. Excuse me, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He's too funny. It's just funny to me, you know what I mean? Because I have a funny question. Energetically and psychically, like, based on his energy, how old do you pick up that he is? I just want to know what you pick up based on the way he feels about me, his energy, like, just how old do you pick up on him, his age? I know how old he is. I'm just trying to figure out what you see energetically.
Energetically?
Well, you know, like how some people will come across as like 16 when they're really 25 or like 22.
Well, I feel like he's, what, 2 years older than you.
That's funny.
Okay, why is that?
It's funny because that's what I said. I said, you're just like, you're only a few years. I would only say you're like, with your mentality and the way I feel with you, I feel like you're only like maybe 3 to 5 years older than me. He is way more than that. And that's the reason why I'm attracted to him, because he doesn't feel old. He doesn't feel a lot older than me. He feels a little bit older than me. That's it.
Okay.
I felt that intuitively. That's what I felt. That's why I wanted to know what you picked up, because that's hilarious.
Back and forth kind of thing and drive you nuts. Because there's some days he's younger than most.
Oh God, I know. But you know what's so funny? I know how to prevent that, and I know how to deal with it. And it's funny because I understand him, and most women he dates are his age, and they can't stand that. But when you're younger, you get it. So
right.
It's no big deal because you're around the same age, so you don't care.
Mm-hmm. So how old is he?
No, I'm not telling you.
Okay.
No, he's a lot older. He's a lot older.
About 15 years older.
But I like that. I don't care. He's way more mature than guys my age, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really saying anything. No, I'm just kidding.
I have one other question, kind of off topic. I have to go to this event on Thursday and Friday. It's part of a club I joined. It's like a charity event. Like, what do you see? Because I haven't been, because I was sick. I was just kind of wondering, what do you see I should make sure that I'm doing, or like how it's going, or like anything you can warn me about?
Warn you about?
Yeah, like, you know, about the evening of Thursday and Friday when I'm at the event, or.
Let's sort of talk about something real quick. And on the planet of cause and effect, there's karma doesn't exist. Then you better start thinking about the ideal of the consequences of your actions, which could actually be called karma. Coming back to you, mama. That's karma. So,
okay, I'm like, what did I do? I've been sick.
I'm just saying, with the situation, it's like, I don't really see anything to warn you of. I just feel like the situation, just keep going forward.
I'm just so confused right now. Did I do something wrong? I don't feel like I did. I've been sick.
You've been sick?
Yeah, I've been sick for a week and a half. I just haven't been able to go do the running, but that's by choice. Nobody's holding me to it. But it's when I guess I feel like I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just curious to know how the evening is going to go and, like, what are you picking up about it? Because I don't understand.
What do I... Are we talking about tonight?
No, we're not talking about tonight. We're talking about this, it's like a fashion event that I'm going to. I just haven't been around. You know, there's when you don't feel well and you want to socialize, but you don't know if you're going to have enough energy and, you know, I'm going to go to show my support, and I'm selling tickets right now, which I'm doing my part, like I agreed to do. Things like that. Like, I'm holding up my end of the bargain. I just don't feel so great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no problem.
But
I
want to go. I want to flake.
Well, it's going to be one of those things to be good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's just, you know, I just keep getting the impression you should focus on what's going on now.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, it's one of those things you're getting through, and it's like going to the event, looking back, and, you know, you're past all this stuff, or you're not sick or nothing anymore. I do feel like that. You feel like this, I don't know what you call it, the sickness, I guess you call it.
Well, I had like a flu allergy kind of thing for the past week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, when I see this event, I just see everybody having a great time. So,
you know, okay.
I see you there doing the whole thing. So, you know. Plus, I just want to center and tell everybody out there, you want to call in and get a reading, ask a couple questions, whatever. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031.
Okay.
So, I'm just saying, with your situation and everything's going on, you know, today is today. I just feel like today is going to be one of those things where you're going to look back and, wow, it's going to be so much good stuff coming into your life. So, I'm just saying, when is this event?
I'm sorry?
When is this event?
It's on Thursday and Friday evening. Each day it's from 6 to 11.
Okay. 6 to 11.
In the evening, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like it's going to be a good thing. I just don't see anything happening like it is now. I just feel like one thing you should definitely work on is, which I probably have been taking a lot of vitamin C.
Yes, I have. I think I ate the whole bottle. That's
right.
Why I got better. I literally am almost done with a 300 caplets bottle of vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so much better. I just get nervous during the weather change because I was really sick last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all that craziness. But you said focus on today, which I guess is dealing with this guy. And I guess whenever my instincts kick in to call him, I guess I should.
You are correct, sir.
And my last question is, should I bring up seeing him or should I just let him say it?
I get the impression of just really listen to your intuition and just follow through on the whole thing.
Okay.
I know sometimes you can be in the situations, especially in the process of getting, when you are back with someone you've been with before, you can have a tendency to question it because of what you've been through.
Yeah.
I just get the impression that this focus on what's going on now and who he is now and that kind of thing and who you are and trust that.
Okay.
Every time you see yourself going backwards, try to tell yourself to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And besides that, I'm just saying, I just feel like it's going to be good. So you just need to go on and check it out.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, boy.
And when you do that, it can be I mean, let's be honest with the situation. Relationships can drive us crazy. But it's just one of those things of, you know, learning how to really listen to yourself and You can see these things for what they are. I have done it so many times with certain things that drove me crazy, because then I realized after the fact that I was picking up exactly what to do, and I should have done it. That's why we're always sinners. That's why we always say, I could have done it better. I could have done it differently, because we got those notions. Especially if we felt like we didn't do the right thing in the first place. We definitely got the answer, and we definitely got the direction to go in. And now we're wishing we could go back and make a different decision. So we definitely got it. Now we just need to learn how to listen to it the first time, and the process of doing that. We correct these things. Instead of trying to get ourselves out of trouble, we miss it.
Yep.
So put it out there. Whew, tired, man.
Well, thank you so much. I think I should try to call and then, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, because, you know, even it's like one of those situations. If you don't get through or he doesn't answer or that kind of thing, sometimes we got to watch these situations because they can drive us crazy. Because we could be picking up on somebody, them wanting us to call us, them thinking about us and that kind of stuff. And the idea we have to put the situation in, what is a call in the first place? We're talking about Atlantis and that kind of stuff, and telling people, you know, people talking about, ooh, they're high in technology and really advanced culture. And all of a sudden they think about televisions and cell phones and that kind of stuff. And then, like, no, that's not advanced. Advanced is getting to the point where you don't need those kind of things to communicate, to visualize, to entertain. You can do those things with your mind. I mean, the mind is the most powerful thing. Someone said 14,000 times more efficient than a computer if we just learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And how to store, and maybe it was 14,000 pieces of information stored in the brain, and that's just 10%. So, you know, the capacity there. With that kind of stuff going on, I'm just saying, when you got that kind of thing going on and you're trying to figure the whole thing out and it's driving you crazy, that's when you start listening to yourself, and then you don't drive yourself crazy, because seriously, when you start worrying about things, you start thinking about all the things that could happen, and that's actually coming from the memory, not from what's really going on.
Yeah, and that's what I don't want, and that's what I'm trying to work towards not doing anymore. So, yep, I'm just going to, oh boy. Well, I'm going to let you go now because I'm going to call, because better late than never. So,
right.
Thank you so much for helping me out. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, you always help me. And I can't even tell you how much I appreciate that. I mean, it's been difficult for a long time for me in other areas as well. But
mm-hmm.
it's something that's been pleasant in my life, and I kind of want it to continue to go well.
Well, I understand.
Yeah. For that, I thank you, but I'm going to let you go now, because if I don't, I'm never going to call him. So
okay.
Have a great evening. Okay. Bye.
You too. Thank you. You have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye. And, okay, guys, there we go. We have an hour and 28 minutes left remaining in the show, so we got plenty of time for people to call in right now and get a reading. And like I said before, to the 10th caller, we're giving away a 60-minute reading. And that was number two. So if you have some insights that you want to share with us about Atlantis yourself, please feel free to do so. Besides the ideal of, we're also doing free readings today, angel readings and past life readings, so give us a call. And we'll answer those things for us. I mean, come on, give us a call in here and enjoy what's going on. We'll have some fun, have some great shows. And I know there's a lot of people out there who, I've had people come on the show, and when I was doing my morning show all the time, and we're debating on things and that kind of stuff too, about Atlantis, and felt like a lot of things were all together at one time, of the idea of Bigfoot and animals and that kind of Sasquatch and that kind of thing were all a part of that too, and they've all spun off and gone in their different directions because it doesn't exist anymore. Used to have this great culture that actually expanded across this great continent from the city of Atlantis. And in the process of doing that, what we got is, you know, things were destroyed, so people went out on their own. It's been said in some sense of the word that Bigfoot and Sasquatch were also animals and creatures from Atlantis. There's also been talked about different kind of flying animals as well that existed there, don't exist anywhere else. And then what happened? They went somewhere else. So these are things to think about as well. And like I said, we were going over a lot of things. So if you want to give a call, the number is 646-721-9031. And give us a call for a free reading. Or if you want to just join in the conversation and give us your account of what you think and what you focus and maybe your theories on Atlantis too as well. So give us a call. There was an it, and we've had so many people who talk about Atlantis in itself. Different variations in landmass that people thought at one time that Atlantis was actually Florida. And Florida, part of the whole thing, where the water levels were lower. So Florida was huge, about the size of Texas. And the idea of the Gulf of Mexico was no longer was not the Gulf of Mexico. It was actually a lake. And one thing I didn't know either is the idea of the creature that is in the Loch Ness Monster, or the Loch Ness Creature, whichever you want to call it, that creature has been spotted, not just there, but it's also been spotted in the Great Lakes. There's been places spotted around the Gulf of Mexico, and another creature that was spotted in South Africa. This one tribe used to worship it, which wasn't the Platosaurus. The Platosaurus. It's almost like the one we see in Loch Ness, except for this one has the legs and the big long neck. So when you look at those situations and all those things, sightings and stuff like that, there's so many locations. So the idea of Atlantis being in so many locations, you know, people say, we've had Atlantis. Woohoo! Let's throw a celebration and let's do the little thing with the party favors and that kind of stuff. I always wonder about one thing. Why do people get so fascinated with Atlantis, thinking they found these things, and then you really don't hear anything more about it? I mean, you hear bits and pieces from these people and like they're doing certain things, but they just never really find it. They want to go look at these places. They want to do more research and that kind of stuff, but how come we haven't heard nothing? There's one guy that had an interview in 1997. Let's see, and then what was the last time he was? I think it was around 2005. But there's a lot of time and space between each and one, and I just felt like there has to be something with this culture that could be found that would put things to rest permanently. I mean, shoot, the guy who found Troy, actually, if you hear that story, well, he actually found three places that could be Troy, but the last one he actually found fit everything in the story that was written about it. Even to the point of the advanced technology that they had to build and to protect, and the surprising why Troy even fell in the first place with that kind of technology to protect it. And sometimes when you hear these stories, don't you think about Atlantis have some kind of influence over their technology and, you know, the ideal? Because we know for a fact that a lot of cultures have borrowed from the past, technology and that kind of stuff, either expanded on it or just thought it was a great thing to use, so therefore they embraced it too. So you just make you wonder about certain things when you see advanced cultures, because there's been a lot of civilizations found that can't be explained with the technology that they exhibited to build their culture. There was one here in North America too as well, which I want to get more information on that one too, where these supposedly Indians, and this is an old, really old civilization, that I think came before anybody that was found here, which was out near Colorado. And they were actually building buildings 3 to 4 stories high. And what they thought was so weird about the situation was, you know, how can these people build something when they didn't have a language, they didn't have writing, no writing skills at all, but they were able to pull together and build these great buildings and monuments and that kind of stuff and build, you know, back then called a great civilization. Can't remember what Indians those are, but I know it was based around Colorado. You know, we had I'm talking about the mounds out there. What? The cliff dwellings, where they might have been associated with them. But they built these, and the buildings were like, at least, I think 40 feet thick, as they built these buildings. And they, you know, and it's like, you know, first of all, where would they get the idea to do it in the first place? Why would they want to do it? Well, most cultures back then would either build kind of up, and then they would dig down. And we were also talking about Atlantis in this day too, picturing something that looked like, if you ever watched Resident Evil, having these this honey cone under the ground, underneath one of their, and picturing a great huge pyramid in the middle of Atlantis, about 10 to 20 times bigger than the Great Pyramid in Egypt. And having a great, and if you look at the Egyptians too, I mean, shoot, they had a lot of things that they built under the ground too as well. So just imagine it, taking the technology to take it one step further, not the idea of just tombs and stuff, but actually living under the ground itself. And we know for a fact that with Egyptians and that kind of stuff, you can't find certain things around Egyptian work and that kind of stuff. They should have had some kind of soot and some kind of evidence of some kind of primitive lighting with torches and flames and that kind of stuff, but you just don't see that. So it makes you wonder. And we're sitting there going, you know, the scientists are going, well, you know, you need a great power source to have big light bulbs and electricity and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, really? We have lights now that you just kind of like, they're fluorescent lights, you just crack them, and they start glowing. And I just, you know, the idea of looking at the situation going, were we the first? Or is it just another one of those things that came back around with history and that kind of stuff that actually gives us the lighting thing? Because, you know, fluorescence, there is a proven fact that Egyptians did have some kind of electricity because they had batteries. And they're definitely batteries, and people consider looking at them going, you know. But the ideal of we had electricity, and then we came up with the idea, how could you make that electricity movable and more easy to work with. So you have to have the idea of technology of having electricity in the first place, and the idea of the thought to take electricity into smaller forms and create batteries. Why would you create batteries if you didn't have some kind of electrical source or some kind of power source? So that makes you wonder. Let's see. And like I said before, we still have an hour and 18 minutes. Love to hear some other people's opinions on Atlantis themselves. This is called the Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday. And so call in. When we talk about the missing spiritual link, it's the idea of looking around and everything like that. When we have bits and pieces of history that are missing, when you find those pieces and they pop in there and you put them together, those are the missing spiritual links. Because it's part of the picture. It's part of the whole picture that makes you think. And, you know, the idea of knowing more about the past in some way may help you embrace things in the future so you can go on and move forward. And knowing that there's great technology back then and that kind of stuff just kind of motivates us to go and see what we can do and let go of certain human aspects to accomplish those things. So it's finding those little pieces helps us to embrace more of the spiritual lifestyle, I think, spiritual. The more we focus on the spiritual, the more we can balance the spiritual and the physical together. So, and let's go ahead and do some more readings.
Whoa, yeah. Never mind.
Area code 415, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, good, how about you?
I'm doing great. And what's your name?
name is Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, how can we help you today?
I was just calling because I wanted to know if you saw like an inheritance coming my way or...
An inheritance?
Yeah.
And 415, where are you calling from?
This is, it's actually a San Francisco area code, but I live a little further down south towards San Jose.
Oh, okay. The impression I get is yes, but not for a while.
Not for a while, like a year?
With the situation going on, there's things you're waiting for to happen, fall into place, right?
Yeah.
So it's just the idea of trying to figure out when do you get your part?
Yeah, well, when is it coming in general, then yeah, then when I get my part, yeah.
Okay. No, I understand. I would say probably about a year. I feel like a lot of things are kind of like in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
I almost get the impression this person was not very organized.
Oh. Okay.
So I keep getting the impression of missing pieces that they're slowly putting together.
Okay.
But they will.
Hello?
Yes.
That's my brother, sorry. He's on the phone.
Yeah. I was saying that. I wanted to know if I could ask a question, too.
Yeah, hello? Sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to know, do you see my financial situation improving, within the next
couple of weeks?
Oh.
I get the impressions you will, how would you put this? Not with money and stuff, but you will definitely see in 2 weeks that you know you're going the right direction. And then the financial money income that you want, that comes in closer to between 1 to 2 months. I just keep getting this impression that you're going to see signs that's getting better.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I can't say that I'm not looking forward to that. Real quick,
right.
And this is my last question. I want to know, like, my life path. Did you see me having a strong life path? Like, in other words, I just want to know if I'm going to grow old, like, to 90 and, like, be in a wheelchair seeing all my great-grandchildren running around or something like that. Just want to know if you knew that.
Okay, no problem. Let's take a look at that whole situation. Go, divine timing tells me that some of the changes and some things you're going to be doing, I don't see you in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what I see is I see the idea of playing with your grandkids, but on a different level. Almost, for some reason, I see some really great strides and differences in your physical. Almost like you're thinking about doing certain things.
Like what, certain things?
I just feel like that the idea of wanting to be more physical.
Want to be more physical, like working out or something?
Yeah, so, but what I get is more like working out and trying to balance things out where you are just... I see physical, but I do definitely see working out, but not in the sense of becoming a great bodybuilder, but definitely working out and do a lot of things differently like that.
Oh, okay.
I see some differences, too, in diet. Almost like you're thinking about... I keep getting this thing about vitamins.
I want to be healthier. Yeah, that's real. That's interesting.
So
yeah,
what it says is if you follow through with those things, I feel like you're going to, you'll actually be chasing your grandkids around.
Oh, wow. That's good. At least I get to see them, huh?
That's right. You
I
do.
Mean, I always felt like, like I was going to always live a long time. Ever since I was young, you feel like you have an old soul and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. My wife is my twin flame, so they say pretty much when you meet your twin flame, that's like that's pretty much a good spiritual path to go on. So I kind of feel like
that's pretty intense. Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Okay. All right. That's
so
helpful.
Just follow through.
I'll make sure I do that. Thank you. You've been helpful. Oh, one last one. I know I said one last one. My wife is pregnant. I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know if you knew what she was having.
Okay. I won't do like I did last night. I was sitting there talking to someone last night. I was sitting there going, my wife's pregnant. What's she going to have? I said, you can trust me on this one. She's going to have a baby. But as we're sitting there talking, it's like this. I feel like a boy.
Oh, okay.
But I keep getting a lot of focusing on a boy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she wants.
But yeah, but I definitely see. I mean, to me, it keeps going up as a boy, and usually, I like to have a little difference in these situations where I'm actually there because when I can be right there in the room. And when I pass women all the time, I've been almost like 10 out of 10 right time.
Oh wow,
that's
good. These are freak people out too. So they're going, "You have a boy, right?" She goes, "Yeah, that's what he wants. That's what we're having." But I've also had people come back to me, too. I was working my shop when I was in Colorado, and I told this lady she was going to have a girl. And she said, no, they said we're going to have a boy. I said, well, I don't know, man. She came back a year later, and she's like, she pushes her little girl in the shop, and she goes, where is that? There's that boy I was going to have. So I was like, oh, so I was right, huh? She goes, yeah. She goes, next time it happens, yeah, I'd rather come to you than go to a doctor. So... That was interesting. So.
My brother's. I just have one last question for myself. I just wanted to know if you see this man. If anything happening between me and this man, if he's going to be stay gone or come back, and if you see anything between us.
This guy. How long has it been since you guys seen each other?
Since February.
I feel like that you're going to be with somebody else.
Not him.
Not him, because I feel like him, as right now, not a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to be tired of hurting people, but still continues to do so.
He's going to stay gone? He's not going to come back to my life?
I think he will come back in your life, but I think you're going to see the same thing I see.
He's not going to change. And this other person, do you see what he looks like?
That's $10. But, I always tell people in situations like this, I do a lot of relationship counseling, I tell everybody, the one thing you need to do is you need to focus on working on yourself in the process of doing these situations, because the more you know who you are, the more you recognize who you're supposed to be with. You can ask your brother.
Yeah.
that's the thing I get here, because, sometimes I'm not given descriptions, because some people tend to look on, descriptions, face, hair, that kind of stuff. But when you meet people...
Well, I was just wondering, because this guy that I thought was my twin flame, everybody kept saying it, I wanted to know if it was him that's going to re-enter my life again or if he's going to stay gone.
Now, I get the impression that you're going to know this man, but not from this lifetime.
From some other lifetime. That's the person they said I connected with him before, previous lifetime. So I'm just wondering if it was him.
Well, I'm saying you haven't met him in this lifetime yet.
Oh, I haven't. Wow.
No. Not until June.
June. And that's somebody I'm going to stay with for a while?
Well, it depends on what you call it for a while.
I'm just looking. If it's going to be like...
I get this pressure with this guy that you're going to be around the 23rd of June. And I see that I don't see anybody after him.
Wow.
So you see the situation?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So the 23rd of June, and this guy that I'm dealing with now, he'll come back because I'm not contacting him, and I'll see him for what he is, and then I'll move on.
Oh, you know, you have a good relationship with this person, and I just feel like that, excuse me, that drives me freaking crazy. Got something stuck in my throat. Ask me again, because I just got something in my eye. Were you asking for an answer for anything? Or is it just the idea?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to know about this guy. His name is Chris. I just wanted to know. I'm going to end up leaving him. He's going to come back into my life. I'm going to end up leaving him because I'm going to see him for who he is and then move on. Correct?
Well, the thing I get is I don't see that a relationship happening. I just feel like he comes back in your life. You cross paths. Because I'll give you an example, okay?
Okay.
I was split from my ex-fiance for 3 years. And everybody was kind of telling me the same thing. And I even got it from my angels that she was going to definitely cross my path again. We were going to talk and we were going to communicate. But it was also saying coming back to you doesn't mean always coming, getting back together. And I wasn't too sure what that meant. But then when she came back and she started talking to me on the phone and she started complaining about everything, she basically, not to insult anybody, but she bitched for 3 days.
Yeah.
And what I sit there and said, you know something? I listened to everything she said and just realized that she was still 3 years back.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't willing to go backwards. I was going forward I had acquired so much and I had all these ideals and stuff. And I just felt like going backwards would just take me further away from what I really wanted to do and where I wanted to be at. You know, because I felt like in the first, and it was almost like a realization right there too, that even making the decision to be with her the first time, I saw things in that relationship of different directions I should have taken. Okay, so, you know, am I going to sit here and say she wasted my time? No, I don't say those things. We go down those paths for a reason, and we always learn something. Even if it's the ideal, next time, pay attention, but they still helped us. And we still loved him. We still cared about him. And it points out to us, realistically, guys, I mean, the ideal, saying love everything and everyone unconditionally. We do.
Yeah.
And those people, we just realize they're just not, we put it this way, they're just not on our path. And we can't, they can't love us like we love them. Because I always tell people in my counsel sessions, I tell people when you meet each other, because I also work with people who are single too. When you meet people for the first time, you tell them everything. And people go, ooh, why would you do that for? Well, think about it. Why are you really hiding those things? Because you're scared what people are going to say about you. But, you know, when you put it out there and realize one thing, you are who you are, does it really matter what those people think? Because I swear, I've been doing this for a long time, and I realized one thing in this lifetime, in every lifetime I've ever been in, people are going to think or not think no matter what you do or don't do. So you might as well just live the life just the way you want to, because you're always going to have somebody who's not going to agree with that. But one person who's always going to agree with how your life is if you do what you want to do is you. And I always sit there and say that if you really want to honor God and everything that goes along with that whole thing, love yourself unconditionally, so therefore you can love everybody else. But when you love yourself, how can you sit there and say you don't love God? And the idea of loving God is loving you, because you're one and the same. So love. Just go out there and love everybody. I mean, and people think it's crazy. And sure, we all get cranky and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we also got that human side to deal with. It's just the idea of finding the balance between the two. Does it happen every day? No, it don't. But, you know, if you strive and strive and strive, it will happen. So I'm just saying, if we can just learn how to love people that we're with, then things will be, you know, I'm just saying, if you love the person you're with unconditionally, then you know you love yourself. It's a darn reflection, really good.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. It's been very helpful.
Well, thank you. I'm just saying, with the situation, my biggest thing is teaching people that, you know, people talk about the Bible and that kind of stuff. My biggest thing about the Bible is, people look at me and say, the Bible says, I said, the Bible said, doesn't say anything.
But
okay.
You read the Bible.
Right. Yeah. You read it, but if you don't live it, then what's the point of having it? I mean, and also a certain thing like this. When you look at the Bible, you learn. The Bible is like a map, but But you really need to look at the map every time. Once you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, and once you're loving unconditionally, do you need to look at the Bible every time to remind you of that? No, I think realistically, if you're doing it, it reflects. So if you look at the people that are surrounding you, you always know which way to go. Just trust that. But I knew a guy in Tennessee. That man, he knew the Bible left, back, and front and back. Every time a situation happened, he knew exactly where to go to the Bible and find that. But did he live it? No.
No.
No, he didn't. He didn't live it. He was beating his wife up all the time. He cheated on her.
Wow.
He ran the whole freaking thing. But he knew the Bible. But see, the one thing about situations, I think the one people we really listen to are the people who reflect what they're saying. And we listen. Because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you see, Jesus, he told the truth. And the truth was so powerful that people listened and followed. Did he jump across the stage like we're having aerobic class, like these preachers do today? No. He just spoke. And it resonated because he lived it. He was it. So therefore, people wanted to be that. And that's the whole thing now. People will go into church and they go, ooh, I don't like it here. And some places you go to, you can understand. But seriously, when you walk into some place, and when I was in Colorado, I walked into a Baptist church. And the reason I say it that way, because I freaked out. I walk into this Baptist church because I was drawn to go there. And when I walked in, it taught me a lesson, because when I walked in, I was scared to death. One reason I was scared to death was I was the only white person there. So I was a little scary, right? And I think a lot of things came back from my past of being around my family and being around other kind of Baptists who were prejudiced. So I was kind of like, ooh, what are they going to do? But this one girl walked up and she said, can I sit you to your seat, sir? Real nice. One of the nicest people I ever met. And when I got into the church, these were the nicest people I ever met. And I think the reason I had such a good experience because these people were genuine. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point right now where when I do readings and stuff for people on the phone and that kind of stuff, I can't tell the difference because we all resonate the same. Because loving people are loving people. The spirit. I tell you this, God, but the spirits, so spiritually, we're all the same. We're all the same color. We're all smacking each other around, having a great time. and that's the truth. We're all having, you go into places like that, and you resonate and that kind of stuff. You forget anything and everything. You forget the world, and that's what it's all about. You know, we're here, but we don't have to be out of the world. We're in it. We're just here.
Yeah.
You know, so love, love, love. I always say that one. And I always say give love where love is given. Which, you know, if you really love unconditionally, that'll be everywhere. So, guys, you got any more questions?
Well, that was it for him, you know, just regarding my love life. That was pretty much it.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, trust yourselves, really, you know. Or I put it, work together with your angels and your guides and God and everybody you feel around you. Your grandmother, she seems to be very smacking.
Here?
Yes. She seems to hug you guys. Yeah, so,
I miss her so much.
Yeah, what a strong personality there, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. What does she think about Chris?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I don't know, man. I keep getting this. I don't see, I don't hear anything on that one. I just kind of see, gosh, it's kind of a scary thing to see a woman like that shaking her finger, you know, back and forth. What the heck are you thinking? And
oh, wow.
That's what I keep getting with her. She's just questioning, make sure you know what you want. The one thing I see with her, with you, she seems to be with you more than she is with your brother.
Yeah, we're really close.
Yeah. And she's got her hands on your shoulders and it's one of those things, I mean, I almost get the impression doesn't approve, but still supportive.
Is he cheating on me? Is that what he...
Oh, no. I'm just saying, she doesn't approve of him. I don't think she really... I don't think she really, really approve of anybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's never have, so...
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. The way it came to me was she doesn't approve... But she still supports you in your decision, whatever you want to do.
Okay. She doesn't see him cheating on me. I'm asking. She doesn't see him cheating on me.
I get no.
Okay, good. I don't worry about it. Okay. Oh, you're so helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Give us a call back and give us an update, huh?
I will. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm going to sit here and take a break and listen to a little music here. And I guess we'll just run out to the bathroom real quick and just take a little, you know, breather. And we'll be right back. And we're going to listen to some Sticks. This is called Renegade.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life on the long arm of the law. Lawmen is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
That's it, guys. How you doing? We're back. We're back. Hey, this is Psychic X Journey Man. This is Psychic X Journey Man Talk Radio. How you doing? We're sitting here talking about Atlantis and doing some readings, and I'd like to do some more reading. All we need to do is have somebody call, a couple of people call, lots of people call. And tonight, 646-721-9031 is the call number. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. So give us a call here. And ask a couple questions. Give us a chance to answer some of your questions for you. Plus, like we said, we were talking about Atlantis before. And as we're going over the Atlantis, it was one of those situations of looking at all kinds of things out there. People trying to put things together and focus and that kind of stuff. And we really had some good things going on where we were talking about the pyramids. And I actually had a couple of shows I had done before where we had talked about the Great Pyramid. And most people, it's been said that Khufu was one of the pharaohs in Egypt, decided to, he was the one that built the Great Pyramid, in the process of building the Great Pyramid. I've actually done some past life readings with those people too that did those. And a lot of things kind of crazy because I picked up a lot of things with people who just wasn't working on the pyramids. They were working more on the temple that's right across from the Great Pyramid, and temples and buildings and that kind of stuff around there, but never really saw anybody working on the Great Pyramid myself. But, you know, I can see in the background where you can see the pyramid slowly coming together. But never have done a reading for someone who's actually worked on the pyramid itself. I saw the masses of 300,000 people working on this thing, and a lot of people. But the way the story came to me was like a vision that basically said that Khufu was actually the one who actually built a Great Pyramid. He built a Great Pyramid. He basically used his telepathic abilities to move blocks into place. And the idea of manipulation of energy, the idea of reversing gravity, levitation is what we call it. In the process of this levitational situation, he built the Great Pyramid again by himself when everybody else was working on temples and other structures that are in that same area. In the process of doing that, he overexerted himself and actually had an aneurysm, which killed him. And it was kind of funny that when you try to get any kind of history or any kind of information about him, there's not much to be had. And in some sense of the word, you felt like he was not a nice person. Let's put it that way. Not a nice person at all. So I was just sort of looking at the situation. I saw the little statue of Khufu, it was like 2 inches tall, but that's about the only thing you can really find of any kind of likeness with him on it. And Egyptians are good for that too. You take them off, they make you disappear. Any kind of anything that has anything to do with you, out the door it goes. They disface everything in that kind. They disface everything. Okay, they disface everything, make you disappear. They don't like you, not at all. So when we sit here and look at the situation at hand, and I was sitting here looking at the situation myself and thinking, especially from the visions I saw, it was kind of incredible to look at this person and see him as one of the last Atlanteans. That'll make you think. So I think it's just one of those things that it's just divine timing when everything else becomes to the surface. It's also been said that in the Sphinx, the reason the Sphinx is the way it is you really can't disface the whole thing because Khufu was the one to put his face on the whole thing. And it's kind of cute to see some movies where they're showing that a person building this and putting together and that kind of stuff, you know, that knocking its nose off by accident, that kind of stuff, when actually it could have been defaced. And the quickest way to deface anything, I think, is to knock the nose off of it, and it distinguishes, it just takes all the characteristics right with it. So when you sit and look at the situations like that, and it was said that Khufu did rise to power through a lot of different means and that kind of stuff, where it could be possible that Atlanteans did come there, motivated these people who were wandering in the desert for so many years. Because, I mean, there's a lot of civilizations out there that were wandering, and next thing you know, you have something that intersects, and next thing you know, they're motivated to build these great monuments and these great civilizations. And also, you know, when you sort of look at the situation, Egypt kicked off with this huge the old kingdom, as they call it, was one of the best king. It's been described as the heyday of Egyptians. Egyptians built all those things and put them all together and did the whole freaking thing. And it seemed like after the Great Pyramid was built and Khufu was gone, it was still a great civilization, but just not as powerful as it was before, where it went through so many ups and downs and back and forth and that kind of stuff. And then I was also reading a friend of mine's book where it talks about the three falls of Atlantis. And then we have a connection with Egypt, where we have three kingdoms of Egypt. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities and back and forth, and so many more things we'd like to go back over again, because it's like fascinating to look at things and say, there's runways in Peru that people, it's kind of like exhilarating and kind of cool to look at them and go, wow, runways. When you look at them, when you see them from the air, they look just like runways. When you're coming in for a landing at the airports, and it kind of looks just like that. But see, the one thing that fascinates me the most is when you look at those things, I don't see alien runways, because I don't understand why there would be alien runways. But there was a story back in the World War II that we were on some islands, and the villagers there, we used to give them all kinds of stuff and that kind of stuff. And when the war was over and we pulled out of there and we didn't need to be there anymore, they would make things, airplanes and mock-ups and that kind of stuff, and wanting us to come back. So the theory is that people thought that people here on this planet saw the aliens here and they want to come back. When I think it's one of the things where they had influences over certain cultures and certain tribes and that kind of stuff back in the day, but they were Atlanteans, not aliens. And the idea of looking at stellar travel and that kind of thing, the idea of looking at Atlanteans with their great ships in the water and their great ships flying, but also their great spacecrafts going back and forth and checking certain things out in the planet itself, force fields, and having technology like that, but not like we do, where we work with great powers of electricity, but they just work with the energy itself. Electricity is, to me, is like a primitive form of energy, and it can't be really controlled in the senses that we have to use electricity and copper. But if you use crystals, it's just pure energy. And crystals can store up to so much more. Plus, they don't have they can take up so much. They have a tendency to absorb heat, not burn up. So when we start to look at those kind of things and just look at the situation where people are trying to, and one thing about, you see a lot of people doing out there when they're trying to figure out these places they found, is trying to place them in a time frame. When they should just put them out there, look at them, see where it goes, and it might actually prove your point without trying to manipulate a little bit more than they have been doing. That can drive you crazy. So, on that note, anybody want to call in? We got 42 minutes left. The number here is 646-721-9031. Also, let's check out the old chat room here. And let's put this little bit of thing in here. Hey, look at that, man. Got some good shit going. Oh, sorry. Good stuff. Okay. So, you want to give us... Also, if you want to give me a call for private readings, that number is 9835 or 740-601-1057, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, and I will call you back, and we'll definitely get in touch, and we'll sit and do a reading. Right now, for people who call the show, it's only $65 for 60 minutes, which is about, I don't know, 40% off the original, off the regular price, which is, it's usually $99 for a 60 to 90 minute session. I have tried to do hour sessions, but they said they always seem to be longer. So we decided, might as well put it out there and say 60 to 90 minute sessions. 30 to 45 minute sessions are $45. And 15 to 30 minute sessions are, I'm not sure what they are. I think they're $30. But you can also get a one-card 15-minute reading for $15. So check that out. We'd love to show you what that's all about, something I've been really working on, trying to perfect with the cards that I have. I can actually look at one card and pull this information out of that one card and just, like, you know, connect, pull it in there. It's kind of a wild thing, but works every time. Also, we'd like for everybody to focus all their energy and their prayers and send them to Bree, who lives in Montana, and send an energy out to her. And she's, right now she's under the weather and she's sick, so we're sending all the energy we can to her to help her with a speedy recovery and to bring her back to the show. She's my co-host and we all miss her and love to have her back as soon as possible. So help us out. Let's send all the energy we can out to her, and if that's the case, then we should be seeing her tomorrow. So let's all focus and give her about 5 seconds here. Well, actually give her 5 minutes and just focus and ask the angels and the archangels and to surround her, and just Archangel Raphael to help her, also Archangel Michael to help her let go of the past and favor all the things that could happen, all the things that could be good, and all the possibilities, even with some of the things that might not be something that some might think that are not obtainable, being run underneath your nose. So it's one of those things of focusing with the angels and the energy and that kind of stuff to help her focus on healing herself, and also that honoring the world with her presence. We miss her giggle and her personality, so I'd like to see her come back as soon as possible. Thank you. Also, donations are welcomed. For everybody who donates, thank you. And for the ones who have donated, thank you. And we're looking for some callers. So if you want to call in and give us a reading, I'm sorry, it was the other way around, wasn't it? I will give you readings. So call with a couple questions. We're talking about Atlantis tonight, so call in. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about past lives. So if you have any past life situations, past life readings, past life that you know about, you want to share with us on the air, join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern here on the Psychic Ex-Journeyman Talk Radio Show. I'm Psychic Ex-Journeyman, and if you just tuned in, we're winding the show down. We have 38 minutes left, so give us a call. Just ask some questions and love to answer. Do some readings. Do some sessions. Just focus on your life. Just get some answers and let's make a difference and set you in the direction you need to go into. So looking good for, looking forward to that one. So let's see. We're starting to look at some situations. Don't you love cell phones? You pick one up and it interferes with all your speakers and all kinds of stuff with your whole thing. You know, the one thing I was talking about Atlantis was, the one thing I've been trying to figure out, is it 10, 12, 9,000, 900? It's like every time someone comes up with a theory, they always have a tendency to take the time frame, goes back and forth on this whole thing. I have always gotten 11,000, and that has not changed with me a bit, one iota. So we sit here and look over the whole thing and try to figure out what's going on. So we definitely do need to get our facts straight, so therefore we can actually, so the direction that we're going into seems a whole lot more clearer. So I feel like it's 11,000. I feel like that all the things we see in Egypt, I see Atlanteans leaving 2 to 3 days early before Atlantis and the Mediterranean, as the city itself went pukum. Excuse me. And then they went to Egypt, which wasn't too far, really. It was a hop, skip, and a jump. And they saw these bands of Egyptians walking through the desert and decided they, you know, some Atlanteans loved the ideal of creating something, and there was other people who loved the ideal of manipulation. It seems like once you're a part of something very positive, there are some people who have a tendency to get out into the world, who have a tendency to want to take advantage of those abilities and then try to enslave the world, which we've seen that many times. But we have also seen, really, realistically, we've also seen the other way too, where people just want to really help the people and be of service and work together and love one another. And unity and, what's it, unity and, what do you call that? Jeez, hate when I go blank. And it just, you know, putting all that together, just one of those things is crazy. And they always seem to outnumber the ones who wanted to rule the world. And it's amazing how that one, you know, we see, if you take the same energy and just do something great with it, instead of trying to manipulate people into doing things for you, if you could take the same energy and work with everybody to do the same thing, which Atlantis, to me, from the visions I've saw of Atlantis, the idea of creating an energy source of itself, society working together, and always trying to focus on the positive, the energy of going forward, of expanding and building, and what is the positive side of this day, and what is the positive side of this solution, or this problem? What is the positive thing we should be looking at? You know, if you look at today, it's pretty much the same, except for everybody thinks the other direction. So we all have the ability with energy. Energy does exist. We do have the abilities to heal and create and manifest and those things. But what our biggest problem is that gets in the way is we always keep focusing on what we don't have, what we, you know, what is the problem. We keep focusing on the problem, what is wrong, focusing on the, we have a solution, but we still see the worst down scenario part of it. So looking at the positive, always looking at what we're going to lose instead of what we're going to gain. So you see the situation, what's the difference? Could the economy be our energy source, and it's basically controlling us? And maybe Atlantis, in their heyday, everything was going good, everything's positive, and then there was a couple of people came into the mix, started focusing on the bad side of everything, and threw the balance off, and to the point where they had a lot of things they attracted. People started focusing on the things they hadn't been focusing on for years. What if that volcano blows up? What if we get hit with a typhoon? What happens if we get hit with a big body of water? And all those what ifs manifested all in one day because they've been holding it back for so long. And all of a sudden, something changed the whole balance, threw the whole thing off balance. And next thing you know, you got bush, and the whole thing was gone. And there was people who saw it happening. They decided not to be a part of the negative. Didn't want to be a part of destruction, so they left. But in the process of leaving, one went to Egypt, one was working with the Mayas, you know, all the cultures you can think of have pyramids. Atlanteans had something to do with that whole thing. Or just maybe we should say high advanced earthlings. You know, looking at things like that and that kind of stuff, and, you know, looking at certain situations of technology and that kind of stuff, but not really wanting to give the whole culture everything about the technology they had. So they work with different cultures to bring that to the forefront. But in different, man has done this before too, where we take things and strive and we think, okay, these people are primitive, so we don't want to give all to them. We want to give it to them bits and pieces at a time. So instead of seeing alien technology that people think we've been given here and there, maybe it's Atlanteans who are far advanced, end up doing what they did to themselves. So therefore, when they give it to the other cultures, they wanted to introduce it into their civilization a little bit slower, making sure they could handle the whole thing. Because in their situation, they created an energy source that was conscious of itself. It was also endless and empowered energy. okay? And in the process of doing that, their technology went from being primitive planes to shooting way far advanced because of the energy source they came up with that enabled them to make these big strides in technology. And in that situation, what do you get? What do you get? I'm telling you, it's like looking at the situation of a lot of things that are working on, of having crystals, not just tapping into energy sources, but also using as crystals for little force fields. I mean, picture the situation. We have phones and cell phones and all that kind of good stuff, technology, computers, that kind of stuff. Can you imagine? You come up with a power source that can power all those things, and you wouldn't have to charge anybody for power, because all I have to do is give them the technology, give them a crystal, and they can create their own energy source. They can also supply their own home. So everybody was independent, but not really independent. They were just self-efficient, self-aware. They knew it was all about them. In the process of realizing what they were capable of doing, they contributed to the society, gave back as much as they took from nature. And nature didn't take much from nature. They realized at that moment of being able to use crystals and energy, they didn't have to take anything from anybody because it was all within themselves. Focus, crystal, energy, channel. When you walk up to like in the movie The Lost Empire, Atlantis, The Lost Empire, when they get on there, they put their hand on the pad and they have a crystal as a key and they turn, take them away. Just get on the machine. You created. What I'm saying is, the technology for doing this was what you do is you teach somebody how to use it, so they therefore they create their own. In the process of creating their own source and becoming aware and self-aware of themselves and self-acceptance of exactly what they can do with that energy, everybody does the same thing. When you combine that as a society, people are constantly giving to each other because they're constantly having an output of energy. So it's a constant thing, spontaneously giving. That's what we do when we love each other. We're giving energy to the other person. We're giving them something to, I don't know, it's like when you love somebody, they feel alive because of that energy. You know, when people don't give, you see that, especially in certain societies, you see that people don't give at all. Most people don't really seem to have any energy at all. So you can see the ideal of give, you know, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. But if you're his, and then he keeps his, and it's like a spontaneous chain reaction that goes around the world that comes back to you. So imagine a big chain of humans around the globe giving love unconditionally. It's a big chain of love and energy. So you take a crystal and use that to enhance that, or to channel it, or many crystals. You could basically create anything. So you wouldn't need a freaking cell phone or a television or like that. You could create these things on your own and entertain yourself, I guess you'd say. Plus also the people you're with and connecting mind to mind. I mean, we do this all the time anyway, spontaneously. I just don't think we really take notice of it. So, what do you think about that? Be nice to hear somebody call in and give their side of the story, what they think about the situation, even if it's something you don't believe in. I would still like to hear. Because I think it's a very fascinating subject to really get into it deeply, to look at and see that there might be 6 outposts of Atlantis that still exist. So, when we put those two together, I think it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting theory to think about. Is Atlantis is or was? Does it still exist? Is it the idea we can't find it because they don't want us to? They can move. Technology tells, anyway, they was actually talking about the idea of a spacecraft hitting the water, you know, and having a force field around it that actually absorbs the percussion are the when you, you know, the force when you hit the water. So therefore, the people who are in the craft within the force field don't feel a thing. That's interesting, isn't it? Yes. I think so anyway. It drives me freaking crazy to try to put all the information together and try to come up with one scenario, one picture, when actually they could all be the same one. Because we sit here and talk about people thought Atlantis was close to Australia. And there's actually been, you know, maybe we could put into account that there's been more stories of mermaids and that kind of stuff in that region of the world than anything else, when we could actually be, you know, people see them swimming in certain kind of fins and that kind of stuff, when it could actually be technology of breathing apparatuses and things to make us move quicker underwater that they still exist and still use. But people would see it as a part of them, so they would see them as mermaids. So you see, they all put together. So it makes you wonder. So if you have anything that you want to add to this, I would love to hear it. It's one of those great subjects that seems to never go away, and people writing books about them every day and doing this, that, and the other. So I'm just saying, we should all do the same thing as well. Look at the situation of tracing it back. I've done a lot of past life readings, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow too, of how many past lives I've actually done where I can actually see people that are part of Atlantis. Actually, my co-host, Bree, I was going to tell her last night in the process of certain things going on that I have actually focused on her myself and actually seen that she's from a past, from one of her past lives way back, where I just feel like she was also from Atlantis too. So those things can actually look at the situation of what can you see? What do you see? I mean, do you have any kind of pulls or any kind of feelings about the situation where you feel like certain abilities that you have, every time you sit there and focus on them, you see Atlantis? So these are the things to look at. I mean, people have looked at the ideal of the pyramids as nothing, not just pyramids, but the pyramids seem to be so much deeper in the subject of what are they really all about? Why pyramids? And one vision I did see, a great pyramid in the middle of Atlantis that was 10 to 20 times bigger than the Great Pyramid in Egypt. But it also gives you an idea that when you see the great civilization of Atlantis, you see something that when you look at the situation, when you look at Atlantis and the whole thing and the island and things that are going on, it can freak you out. Because when you see the pyramid in the middle of this society, this civilization, it looks about the same size as the one in Egypt. So this gives you an ideal of how big this civilization was, how big this city is, a big culture and everything, that, you know, spans forever. And when we see the island in the middle of the Mediterranean, that was destroyed and taken out completely, that volcano built over top of that, then you get an ideal. So, you know, I was just sitting there going over the whole thing myself. I can see a lot of things like that. So it definitely makes me believe that the difference in, you know, the ideal behind crystals, too, can be definitely different, too, as well. So as we finish the show, take a look at the whole thing, and I'm going to be putting more technology, more research into this, too, of finding other things, because we've also seen, I've also read books on how we can actually look at the situation and cross-reference the ideal of Atlantis and the Garden of Eden. So you see, it's one of those things. Join us next Tuesday when we go into more depth about Atlantis and the whole situation and what's going on. And like I always say before, I invite everybody to come in too as well. Like we always say, we have this thing called the round table that we bring people in and want all kinds of different opinions to come into the situation. So I'm actually going to, in the process of looking, I'm trying to find a couple of people who have actually, with some of the books that are out there, get them to come in and take a look at the situation and give us their side of maybe some background on their books. Because there are some things with the pyramid that are kind of interesting in itself, and you kind of look at the situation that were built at the same time the pyramids were built, that there's actually sections inside the pyramid. They actually sent a robot up inside one of the, there's like little square holes on each side of the chamber that go out, that have a tendency to face towards certain constellations and that kind of stuff. But what I thought was kind of crazy in this situation is when you go up these little things, they sent these little robots up inside there. There's that you actually come to a point where there's a plate that comes down that seals it off, and you're trying to figure out why would they do that? What's the point of sealing off those? If they're, you know, could they be air shafts for the people inside, or could they be anything? It doesn't matter what they are. So it's one of those things about what they represent. And now you find out that the one on the one side is sealed off. So, and we do have a caller, so let's go ahead and take some calls and do some readings. Area code 310, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm great. It's Robin from L.A.
Robin from L.A. You sound very familiar.
Yes, because I've talked to you before.
Oh, okay. Cool. So how are you?
I'm doing great. I just thought of a question, though, because I actually know a couple of people who are working on free energy apparatus is the only word that I can use for it. And one of the persons I know, he actually the idea just came to him, like
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden. He was not a scientist, totally in a totally different field, and not, like, it was just not something that he would have normally done. He wasn't a researcher. He wasn't in the energy field, anything like that, nothing like that. And he had this idea, and he believed that he could build it, and right now he's working on building a free energy generator. And I've heard this same story. This person I know personally, but I've heard this before. So so I know that there are people around the world right now who are, you know, working on these, developing these concepts. And the other thing is that most of the time when I hear about these people, they're not doing it for money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe these people have that, you know, either an Atlantean influence or some other kind of influence, you know, from their past lives, or if they've actually just been given the information.
Exactly.
So that was my question. I'm wondering what you think about that, or if you've heard anything about people who are in the process of creating,
yeah.
you know, free energy, like the guy who built the car engine that runs on water and stuff like that.
And yeah, some of those freaking things didn't come out either. You know, it's like you, I saw this in a museum too, where that whole thing, and it didn't kick off because the idea of couldn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
but I'm wondering, what is your idea on where the intelligence for these things is coming from?
Well, I sit here and do it this way. I get these things all the time where I do past life readings and I get visions myself and that kind of stuff. And some of the things I picked up, like when I got the vision about Khufu basically dying of an aneurysm because he built the Great Pyramid with his mind and telepathic abilities to move blocks and that kind of stuff. And we actually had the same chat room too on Block TV where the guy was talking about the people when they built the pyramids, they called it casting. And I'm sitting there going, this stuff itself is stone. And if we're talking about pouring these things into things, then we're talking about another freaking technology of the situation of how would they pour these things unless it was going to, because there's no freeze. You know, there's far and few between with the situation of looking at that kind of stuff. So, you know, there was a thing about what I'm getting to here was Casey, Edgar Casey. He said he had an Atlantean guide with him, a healer, and that kind of stuff. And he said a lot of things came to him too. And also, from all the things that came to Edgar Casey, and there was there's a library, Edgar Casey's library, of all the 14,000 readings he ever did. And
right,
there was
I heard of that.
There was a lot of things in there on ways to heal certain things. And there was a lady who had there's this thing, it's like a cataract or something. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but you get a spot on your eye. And what happens is the spot keeps getting bigger and bigger until you're totally blind.
Right.
Well, one of Edgar Casey's readings, he had gotten this technique from his Atlantean doctor, a guide, who gave him this technique, which was basically all it was a certain way of massage. And
right.
This lady had gone to all the freaking doctors and everybody out there and everything else, all the technology, all the freaking logical people, and they said there's no cure for this. And she, it was like a last resort. She heard about the archives of Edgar Casey and all of his readings and stuff. So she went there, checked it out, did the whole freaking thing, right? Got this massage. And that's all she did was a certain way of massaging around your shoulders and that kind of stuff and working hand in hand with nature, basically what it is, with energy and that kind of stuff, manipulation. Not the manipulation, but the direction of energy. And in less than a month, she was the spot was getting bigger and bigger. Now it's getting smaller and it was gone. And it was just cured. So, you know, when you sit here and talk about the people getting these things in their heads and they're picking things up, I think it's more of a trace back. Like we have Edgar Casey talking about he had an Atlantean guide. But there's also been speculations, too, that the reason they were working hand in hand was almost like a person like this could be Edgar Casey's brother. When he so he's getting this information from the past, but he's also getting this information from someone who still exists in some shape or form. And we're all thinking about past lives and that kind of stuff. Well, if there are past lives, then what this guide, what is it all about? Well, we do know from the people we've worked with and that kind of stuff, some people do go from when they pass over into becoming someone else, becoming a guide. And working all those things. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. But I definitely feel like with the situation you're talking about, this guy, definitely getting information. But when it comes to me, I keep getting more of a trace to a connection to where he was from Atlantis. And this is like memories of things. Or they're coming to a point in our lives where all of a sudden we have a tendency to open ourselves up to the possibilities. Or we see something, it triggers a memory. All of a sudden all this information starts flooding back and almost like saying it
so that's what I was wondering.
Secondhand.
I guess it's different for different people, but I guess maybe some people are having memories and some people are getting information from
guys and angels.
From another state.
Yeah, and we also had the situation, I was talking about this before on the show, where we're talking about Thomas Edison. And
right, yeah.
Edison and what's his name? Tesla. These guys used to talk about, and also Beethoven. They would talk about. They would have these dreams, or they would take cat naps, and then come out of these come out of a dream or something, and write a great song, or come up with the technology they come up with. Or Tesla came up with certain things too as well. And Tesla really was what some of the things he came up with, people thought was kind of crazy, but today is the reason why we have radios and things like that that run on batteries. That was something he came up with and that kind of stuff. So, and I was sitting here talking about early in the show, I'm sitting here talking about, man, this drives me freaking crazy. If the Egyptians didn't have any batteries, why do they have batteries? If they didn't know they didn't have any idea what electricity was about, why would they create batteries to basically be portable? Usually,
right.
Like I said before, I mean, look at the situation. We have Thomas Edison and the idea of electricity and creating these dynamos and electricity and all that kind of stuff. And then Tesla comes along and tries to figure out how to make it portable or make it more, you know, feasible and workable in the home and that kind of stuff, just not getting power to the house. But he was also looking for other sources of certain things to make it easier for us. But see, that was also stemmed off of creating, having already used electricity and know what electricity was, before you could actually take it to the next level of making it more portable. So here we have Egyptians, and we found that one place they found like 10 or 12 of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they were batteries. I mean, you know, so you were sitting there going, and they were saying, well, the Egyptians didn't have any electricity because how could they do that? We don't see any power lines. Well, we're talking about 6,000 years ago, dude.
Exactly.
Do you think those power lines would be still sitting around? I mean, by chance, somebody happened to walk upon and just happened to notice the Sphinx, which was like a foot sticking out, and decided to uncover that, which turned out to be a great uncovering. I think Polian was actually one of the people who uncovered it. It's been uncovered like 3 or 4 times. That's why it still exists. So, you know, when you have this kind of things going on, I still feel like there's another Sphinx out there, too, because Egyptians used to build those things in twos. Because they're protection. They're for protection. And they always felt like, you know, two and surround, that kind of thing. So I always felt like there's another one out there, too. Go ahead.
I have another question. Just something that I just remembered. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That I remember that has been going on. I try every morning to connect with my higher self because that's how I get a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been wanting to be exclusively guided by my higher self. So when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I get like a flood of information, and sometimes I wake up and I just have my regular 3D mind talking about crazy stuff, bills, and, you know, TV shows and stuff. But when that happens, I purposely try to, you know, connect with my higher self and get guidance for every single day. And some days it's really, really hard. Like I've laid in bed. I get up early to try to do this because some days I've laid in bed and it's taken me like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because like my mind will just go back to sleep, or it'll blank out, or it'll just go off on some other kind of crazy thing. And I've been meditating for over 10 years. So it's not like, you know, I don't have any, you know, like I don't work with my mind at all, but it's like it's really resistant lately to that, you know, having that connection every day. And what I talked to you about before personally was that, you know, I know that I'm very, very close to something, and it feels like almost like the closer I get, the more resistant I'm getting, like from my lower self. And I'm wondering what that is.
I think there's always a part where when the higher self and you get closer, the idea of actually emerging, becoming one, there's resistance.
Yeah, it's really strong. Like I said, sometimes it will take hours, and sometimes I'll just, you know, I'm not doing anything like forceful to myself. I just lay down and I say, you know, my intention is to connect to my higher self. And if I just, you know, breathe deeply and then allow my consciousness to drop into my heart, then, you know, I'll just, you know, start to get the guidance. But sometimes it just, like, I'll just fall asleep, or I will, which I know is like falling asleep is a mind trick. It's something your mind does to you. When you want to do something, it'll just put you to sleep. Or I've had those things where I just will blank out, like not falling asleep, but you know how when you're driving on the highway and then you just lose time for a few minutes? That will happen to me too. When I'm just laying in my bed, I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Like I just, you know, left my body and came back. And then I'm saying, okay, no, that wasn't my intention. I didn't say that I intend to take an astral journey right now. I said that I intend
to simply just
connect with my higher self and see what the heck I'm supposed to do today. Like, that's all I want to do. It's not that hard. But it really has been fighting me, you know, a lot. And another thing that has come up was that I wanted to, I know people who are, you know, doing really important projects, and I have some other friends who are doing some other really important spiritual projects, and I really want to be able to support them. So I wanted to find out if you would be able to, if you could see anything or feel when I would be able to be in a position where I could support these spiritual projects that I want to help out.
When would you be ready?
Yeah, when would I be able to do that? Because it seems like it's. I have some friends who are doing spiritual practices out in the desert, and.
Well, you know, spiritual practices is the idea of the word at the end, practices. And so
yeah.
It's the idea. I feel like they're something that should be done as soon as possible. Now, there's a book out there called Spiritual Super Beings by John Randolph Price. If you read the book, he's actually going through the process and doing a lot of things and discoveries of his own when he wrote the book and the process of writing the book. So, see, they all were hand in hand, working together. That created an awesome book that I actually have gotten many, many times. And I recommend everybody else to get it, too.
And they're doing that now, yeah. So they're in the process of doing that. I just hope that I'm going to go there this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just hoping that when I go this summer that I would be in a position to, you know, support them financially as well.
Well, it's like one of those things, you know, you just sit here and look at the situation. A lot of people say, you know, meditation, you should be awake. Some people say there are certain things you can do when you're sleeping because the subconscious mind is always awake. One thing people don't realize about the body never really actually does completely sleep. There's
mm-hmm.
other, and the idea of working on techniques to do that too, where you can actually steal the heart even further to actually get some really deep relaxation. Those take, and I think it's one of those things not really taking years. I think it's the ideal. Some people take years and certain things like that to try to find the right niche that actually works. And then once you do that, it just seems like it's a spontaneous right into it. So, you should do the projects and the financial part of the whole thing is, once you make your mind up, that's exactly what you're going to do and follow that whole track. Just feel like an opportunity is to actually be a blessing in all many ways, even financially, will actually come to you very quickly. You're talking to a person who went to Colorado the first time, it didn't cost him a dime. I went from Wisconsin to Colorado and didn't spend a dime. I'll say it one more time. I went from Wisconsin to Colorado, and what I did was I just put it out there. I told this lady who wanted me to go to Colorado and work for her, and I just told her that that's great, but you need to find me a place to live. You already given me a job, and you also have to figure out a way to get me there. Because I said, I have no travel plan and that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, this is your little track that you want me to do. And yes, I want to go there. And a week before that, I'd actually put it out to the universe and say, yes, I'd love to live in Colorado. And that's all I did. Next thing I know, these people are going to let me live in their freaking basement. They
mm-hmm.
work with her business. And She rented an SUV and drove, okay? Drove from Colorado to Wisconsin and back. Came, picked
wow.
me up and took me there. So, see, the problem with people, I was thinking in my mind going, I'd love to go to Colorado, but how do I get there, man, with all my stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to the universe and basically just let go. I mean, I was shaking myself going, I'm not going to worry about nothing. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to sit there and contemplate. We're just going to say, that's where I want to live. Now, when I got there, there were certain pieces here and there that I didn't focus on, because I think sometimes with situations, you just need to let yourself go and let it go and let it get you there. It's always when you start thinking about the bad stuff, then you start getting weird stuff that starts happening. And I had a situation where I ended up having an affair with a woman and that kind of stuff and trying to figure out, okay, I don't do that kind of stuff. And there, next thing I know, here I am getting caught up in the whole situation. But when I got back to it again and started focusing on the, you know, like I said, okay, I need to go back and get back in the direction I was going, where I was trying to, the things I was trying to attain, why am I here? I knew it had to be a spiritual thing. And then opportunities started opening up for me, but it was like getting back to the whole thing. How'd you get to Colorado? I just asked. So therefore, when I got my shop and my apartment, all this kind of stuff, I just asked for those things, and the opportunities that fell into place for those things, you know, you can't describe how those things happened and how happy you were, but when they started happening, It's because I started listening, not because not the actions I was doing, as in I got to go walk the freaking pavement to get a job. I started walking the pavement did nothing but wear my shoes out.
Exactly. That's why I was saying that I've been trying to get, you know, to receive guidance every day, because I know that, you know, trying and trying and trying things doesn't work. So I want to know, okay, exactly, right. Like
trying wears your tires out.
exactly. So that's why I said, okay, I just want to, you know, I just want to live by this guidance every day, even if it takes me 2 hours to get it, you know, instead of like, oh, well, why don't I try this? Oh, let's try that. Try that.
Yeah, because I was sitting reading the book, I'm reading the Super Beings book, and there's a lot of things he reads about working with angels and that kind of stuff. But he's also talking about getting to a point where you just don't try to manipulate anything. You just let everything fall into place, and you let the universe work for you. That's the point of getting to meditations of not just letting go. Okay, well, what's my angel saying? What am I angel saying? Do right now? Nothing. So we got 90 minutes left. 90 seconds. 90 seconds. I just want
to. Okay.
I just want to thank everybody, but you can stay right there. I just want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for all the callers. Thank everybody else. Listening. It's been a fantastic show. And like you said, join us next Tuesday for more insights to Atlantis and different ways of looking at things. I've come to our round table. But also join us tomorrow for Past Life. It's called Free Angel Reading Round Table Past Life Wednesday. So join us there. We're going to be talking about past lives and doing some past life reading tools as well. So may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And for everybody who's given donations, thank you very much. And you guys all have a great night. Thank you. Fantastic. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Good night.
And stay right there. And she's gone. So we'll see you guys later and have a good night. And here's some music for you to go on. I'm going to try to find something here.